Here are the starting lineups and batting orders for tonight's game. First, the starters for the Reno Aces, AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, managed by Gil Velasquez. Leading off the Aces, second baseman number 5, Giancarlo Cintron. Batting second, the center fielder number 8, Corbin Carroll. Batting third, the third baseman number 16, Buddy Kennedy. Batting fourth, the left fielder number 11, Stone Garrett. Batting fifth, the shortstop number 13, Wilmer Depot. Batting sixth, the right fielder number 6, Dominic Canzone. Batting seventh, the designated hitter number 36, Jose Pereira. Batting eighth, the catcher number 27, Dominic Merolio. Batting ninth, the first baseman number 24, Jake Hager. Starting pitcher for the Reno Aces number 9, Dre Jameson. And now the starting lineup for your Albuquerque Isotopes. That is
message from Major League Baseball.
Aces Baseball is on the air. Now let's head to the ballpark with Zach Baerudy.
Good evening, everybody, from Rio Grande Credit Union Field at Isotopes Park in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Zach Baerudy, so glad to have you with us for another edition of Reno Aces Baseball on the radio, where tonight the Aces, the AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks, take on the Albuquerque Isotopes, the AAA affiliate of the Colorado Rockies. And it's great to have you with us tonight on the Aces Digital Network. It's game three of this six-game series. And the winner of this game tonight will have the upper hand in this series, as it is split a game apiece. The Isotopes taking game one by a final of 4-3, a game in which they hit four solo home runs, accounting for all their scoring. And the Isotopes last night hit another solo home run, but it turned out to be the only run they had in the game. The Aces scored five runs early in last night's contest and got some brilliant pitching as they went on to a 5-1 win to even the series at a game apiece. Taking it back to last night's contest, the Aces scored two runs in the second inning, a leadoff double by Wilmer Defoe, and then Dominic Canzone with an RBI single. Canzone, who drove in three runs and stole two bags, would then steal second base, and he would score on a two-out RBI double by Corbin Carroll, who had three more hits last night. And the Aces had a 2-0 lead. Reno doubled its lead in the third inning, taking advantage of a fielding error committed by third baseman Jonathan Morales to start that third inning. The next batter, Stone Garrett, singled, and then with two outs, it was a two-run single by Canzone to make it a 4-0 Reno advantage. The Aces' last run came in the top of the fourth inning. Yanni Hernandez led off that inning, got hit by a pitch, stole second, went to third on a wild pitch, and scored on a double play two batters later, hit into by Jake Hager, and the Aces made it a 5-0 lead at that point. Albuquerque starter Ashton Godot went four innings. He allowed five runs, three of them earned on seven hits. He hit a batter, didn't walk anybody, and he struck out six. It was a bullpen effort yesterday for the Aces, started by Jeff Bain, who made his return to a Reno uniform. Bain went 3 1/3 innings, and Bain retired 10 of the first 11 batters that he faced before surrendering a solo home run to Carlos Perez. And that made it 5-1. That got Albuquerque on the board, but as it turned out, that would be their only run. Bain went 3 1/3 innings. He gave up one run, just the one hit, one walk, and four strikeouts. Paul Fry followed that up, an inning and 2/3 scoreless. Fry escaped a bases-loaded jam in the fifth inning, and that ended up being Albuquerque's last push. Luis Frias came on in the sixth, worked two scoreless, retired 6 of 7 that he faced. And then Miguel Aguilar and J.B. Wendelken each had a perfect inning down the stretch to close out the win for the Aces, as Reno went on to a 5-1 victory. Our final totals last night, the Aces, 5 runs, 10 hits, no errors. And they left 9 stranded. The Isotopes, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 error, and they left 5 stranded. The winning pitcher, Luis Frias, now 3-2. The losing pitcher, Ashton Godot, he is now 0-6. And there was no save in a game that took 2 hours and 32 minutes, and the paid attendance was 7,287 last night here at Isotopes Park. Turning our attention to tonight's ballgame, it'll be Dre Jameson on the mound aiming for his third straight win. Jameson has gone back-to-back outings going 7 innings, and he has been sharp of late. He'll be opposed by Brandon Gold, a right-hander for the Isotopes out of Georgia Tech. Gold was drafted by the Rockies in the 12th round in 2016, and Gold will come into this game with a record of 4-5. And a 6.89 ERA. The Aces last night with the win and the Las Vegas Aviators last night with a loss means that the Aces are back 8.5 games up on Vegas for first place in the PCL West. Salt Lake is 51-56, 10 games back of Reno. Tacoma 48-58, 12.5 out. And Sacramento bringing up the rear at 46-61 and 15 games back. In the East, Oklahoma City still leading the pack. Oklahoma City 62-45, 2.5 games up on El Paso. 59-47 are the Chihuahuas. Round Rock 57-50, 5 games out. And then Sugar Land 49-58, 13 games back. And Albuquerque 48-58 and 13.5 games back in the East. The Aces, if they were to win this game tonight, and if the Dodgers were to lose their game tonight, the Aces would be tied with Oklahoma City for the best record overall in the PCL. So that's kind of what the Aces are chasing at the moment. Reno, of course, in first place by a lot in the West. But if you're looking for another race to track the best overall record in the league, the Aces are behind the Dodgers by a game. And we'll see what transpires tonight. Game 4 of this series tomorrow, 5:35 Pacific time start. It'll be Corbin Martin and Zach Neale coming up tomorrow. On Saturday, another 5:35 start time, Ryan Nelson and Carl Kaufman. and then a rematch of the opener of this series from Tuesday on Sunday to close out this series. It'll be a 5:05 first pitch on Sunday, and it'll be Brandon Pfaadt and Riley Smith, and of course we'll have it all for you here on the Aces Digital Network. Day off on Monday, and the Aces travel back to begin a short homestand, just a one-series homestand, beginning on Tuesday with the Salt Lake Bees coming to town. And that'll be, again, a six-game homestand before the Aces hit the road again to Sacramento. This is a very road-heavy month of August for Reno, but it's been a great month of August as the Aces, again, 8.5 games up on Vegas for first place in the West. Isotopes have taken the field. Let's turn it over to the public address for tonight's national anthem from New Mexico. Tenor saxophone rendition of our national anthem tonight from Albuquerque, New Mexico. Zach Mayrudy, so glad to have you with us on the Aces Digital Network. Welcome to Rio Grande Credit Union Field at Isotopes Park. It's game three of this series. The Aces, the AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Isotopes, the AAA affiliate of the Colorado Rockies. A series tied at a game apiece. And let's give you the starting lineups, and we'll start with the visiting Aces posted by manager Gil Velasquez. The Aces are 61-46, leading Vegas by 8.5 games in the PCL West. Leading off, the second baseman, Giancarlo Cintron, batting second. Center fielder, Corbin Carroll, riding a 9-game hit streak. Hitting third baseman, Buddy Kennedy. The cleanup batter, left fielder, Stone Garrett. Hitting fifth, the shortstop, Wilmer Defoe, on an 8-game streak. Batting sixth, the right fielder, Dominic Canzone, also on an 8-game streak. And rounding out the order for Reno, batting seventh, the DH, Jose Herrera, who was optioned back just 2 days ago and reporting today. Hitting eighth, the catcher, Dominic Maroglio, batting ninth, first baseman, Jake Hager. Again for Reno, Cintron at second, Carroll in center, Kennedy at third. Garrett in left, Defoe at short, Canzone in right, Herrera the DH, Maroglio catching, and Hager at first. The starting nine for the Isotopes, posted by manager Warren Schaefer. Leading off, the center fielder, Ryan Vallade, batting second, the right fielder, Sean Bouchard, hitting third. Designated hitter, Carlos Perez. The cleanup batter, first baseman, Michael Tolia. Hitting fifth, second baseman, Coco Montes. Batting sixth, the shortstop, Alan Trejo. And rounding out the order for Albuquerque, batting seventh and catching, Jonathan Morales. Hitting eighth, the third baseman, Brett Boswell. And batting ninth, the left fielder, Jimmy Herron. Again, for the Topes, it'll be Vallade in center, Bouchard in right, Perez the DH. Tolia at first, Montes at second, Trejo, the shortstop, Morales catching. Boswell at third and Heron in left. Trey Jameson makes the start for the Aces. We'll talk more about him when we get to the bottom of the first inning. But on the mound for Albuquerque, it's Brandon Gold, who comes in making his 22nd appearance, his 15th start, 4-5 with a 6.89 ERA. Our home plate umpire is Taka Matsuda. Up the first baseline, Jose Navas, the crew chief, and across the way at third, it's Austin Jones. Gold, the right-hander, is ready to go to work. And the first pitch of our ball game tonight is at 6:37 p.m. Mountain Time. And the game time temperature is 74 degrees under a gorgeous sky where there are some big clouds moving in from behind us, behind home plate. But off in the distance, it's a brilliant blue sky as that pitch is low. And to count one ball and one strike, if you looked at the weather map right now, you'd see some very powerful storm cells around Albuquerque. But it doesn't look like anything's going to hit us tonight. One ball, one strike to Cintron. The outfield straight up, and JC swings and fouls it back, and it's 1-2. The Aces wearing their traveling gray pants are wearing red tops, Reno written in white cursive script across the chest, a blue number trimmed in white on the lower left front of the jersey, a white number on the back of the red jersey. The Aces have their blue caps, the red bill, the letter R on the front of the ball cap with the red diamond inside. As Gold is ready, and the 1-2 to Cintron is swung on and looped towards shallow center field. Coming in is Vallade, and he makes a catch leaning forward for out number one, and that's how our ball game begins tonight, with Cintron flying to center field. The Isotopes wearing their home white, or their home white pants are wearing black tops, so an alternate top with Isotopes written in their fun red font across the chest, a red number trimmed in white on the lower left front of the jersey, a red number trimmed in white on the back of the black jersey with the last name of each Isotopes player in white letters above the numeral on the back of the jersey. As the pitch on the way is taken for a strike, and it's nothing in one. The Isotopes are wearing a black cap with a red bill and their primary logo out front with the protons and neutrons swirling around. Nothing in one to Corbin Carroll, riding a 9-game hit streak. And Corbin batting .325, 4 homers, 15 runs batted in, and that pitch is going to miss down and in, and it's one ball and one strike. Carroll tied for the second longest active streak in the PCL, and during the course of the streak, he's batting .400 with a homer and 6 runs batted in. The shift is on 3 to the right of second, and Gold kicks his leg and throws, and the pitch is in tight, and it's 2-1. The outfield left to right, Jimmy Herron, Ryan Vallade, Sean Bouchard. Infield third to first, Brett Boswell, Alan Trejo, Coco Montes, and Michael Tolia. Jonathan Morales behind the plate, and Gold, the right-hander out of Georgia Tech, brings his 2-1 pitch to Carroll, and it's swung on and popped up third base foul territory, but that'll reach the seats and get out of play. So two balls and two strikes to Corbin Carroll. Gold has spent this entire season here with Albuquerque, again making his 22nd appearance, his 15th start. Got some time here last year as well. The 2-2, and Carroll swings and misses off speed away. And Corbin is down on strikes. So two up, two down, and Buddy Kennedy coming up next. Kennedy in from the right side, and Buddy batting .300 in Aces uniform this season. 4 homers and 28 runs batted in. Here's the pitch, and it is low, ball one. Two outs, the base is clear. We're just underway, top of the first, no score. There's a swing and a chop towards short. It's going to be two bounces for Trejo, who takes to the rim of the outfield grass, throws to first, a good stretch on the back end by Tolia to assure the out of Kennedy that ends the inning. Nothing across for the Aces, and a clean top of the first worked by Brandon Gold. We played half an inning here in the land of enchantment. It's the Aces nothing and the Isotopes coming up.
When Brooklyn hurt her arm, I knew there was no way she could sit through a long wait in the ER. Rock Express is the only orthopedic urgent care, which means they're experts in treating injured bones, joints, and muscles fast.
The whole thing took less than an hour.
And it costs a lot less than a visit to the ER.
Rock Express put me back together fast, and they can do it for you, too.
Rock Express, now in Reno, Sparks, and Carson City. Visit RenoOrtho.com.
Don't let ouch ruin your day. Swift Orthopedic Urgent Clinic will get you the care and treatment you need when you need it. Swift accepts walk-ins and same-day appointments. Their orthopedic specialists are experienced in diagnosing and treating car accident or personal injuries, sports injuries, broken bones, strains and sprains, muscle pain, injured joints, and back and neck pain. With locations in Sparks and in Reno, relief isn't far away. Learn more at SwiftUrgentClinic.com.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Trey Jameson aiming for a third straight win, as Jameson has gone back-to-back outings where he's logged seven innings. And he has won both versus Salt Lake on the 30th of July, and then his most recent outing on the 6th at Vegas, where he allowed one run on 10 hits. No score, bottom of the first inning, and Ryan Vallade will get it started for the Isotopes. Vallade in from the right side. And it was supposed to be Winton Bernard hitting leadoff today, but Winton Bernard was a late scratch. Outfield straight away. Two on either side of second, and the pitch to Vallade hits him. And Vallade plunked with the first pitch of the game. And that, I don't know if it got him on the leg or the arm. I think maybe on the arm, like just beneath the elbow. And Vallade, yeah, he wears an elbow guard, and that's where it got him. Fastball, and Vallade had nowhere to run and hide. So Vallade hit by Jameson's first pitch of the game. The outfield left to right for the Aces, Stone Garrett, Corbin Carroll, and Dominic Canzone. The infield third to first, Buddy Kennedy, Wilmer Defoe, Giancarlo Cintron, and Jake Hager. Dominic Maroglio behind the dish. And Jameson on the mound. Again, Maroglio always catches Jameson. The pitch is taken for a strike, and it's nothing and one. A very good rapport between these two going back to their Double-A days. Bouchard batting .313 with the 15 homers and 49 runs batted in, including the difference-making home run on Tuesday night. He homered in the eighth inning off Kella. The pitch on the way is going to be taken up high. And it's one ball and one strike. Keone Kella, that was the only hit that he gave up, that one-out solo homer to Sean Bouchard, but it broke a 3-3 tie. And the Aces ended up falling to the Isotopes 4-3 in the opener of this series on Tuesday. Here's the 1-1. Runner takes off. The pitch is in for a strike. The throw from Maroglio is not going to be in time, but it was gloved brilliantly by Giancarlo Cintron. Cintron was falling backwards, and that throw came in on a bounce. And Cintron did well just to keep it on the infield. So Ryan Vallade with a stolen base. Vallade got an excellent jump there. Two balls and one strike is the count to Sean Bouchard. One ball and two strikes, I beg your pardon. Now they fix that up on the board. Taka Matsuda letting us know that it should be 1-2. Jameson checking Vallade at second, and the 1-2 pitch is in tight. And it's two balls and two strikes. For Ryan Vallade, that is his sixth steal in his eighth attempt. Pitch is up high, and it's 3-2. Three balls, two strikes to Bouchard with Carlos Perez on deck. Runner at second base, Vallade with nobody out, and the pitch from Jameson low and outside, and ball four. So back-to-back free passes as Vallade hit by a pitch and Bouchard walks. And now Carlos Perez. Perez in from the right side. Perez playing in his 83rd game with the Isotopes this season, batting .274. 24 home runs and 67 runs batted in. Three to the left of second with the shifts. And Jameson on the third base side of the rubber delivers. And it's low and out. Oh, it's called strike, beg your pardon. It's nothing and one. Dominic Marolio received that pitch and started jogging out to the mound. And as Marolio crossed home plate to go to the mound, that pitch was called a strike. Obviously by Hawkeye, not by Takamatsuda, who's just relaying the call in his earpiece. But the way that Marolio caught that, maybe there was a cross up there between the two. As Marolio still out on the mound, and now Dom's going to head back behind home plate. The Sandias Mountains off in the horizon are just beautiful. Like, you can reach out and touch them. They are crystal clear with big plumes of clouds behind them. Again, the storms are swirling around Albuquerque today. Here's the 0-1, and a swing and a chop to the left side. It's going to be taken by Defoe. He'll throw to third for the force out there of Vallade, and that is out number one. So that out will play for Jameson and the Aces. A fielder's choice. It goes 6-5. And now Michael Tolia, the first-round pick from 2019, who homered in his first AAA game on Tuesday. Tolia last night was held hitless, going 0-for-4, and he went 2-for-4 on Tuesday, a single and that home run that I just mentioned. So now it's Bouchard at second and Perez at first. Tolia in from the left side. The third baseman, Kennedy, is well off the line. Outfield is straightaway. Carroll straightaway in center. The shortstop, Defoe, is shaded toward the middle. And the right side of the infield playing the left-handed hitting Tolia to pull it. As Jameson sets, kicks, and delivers. And the pitch is swung on in line in the left field. A base hit. Hitting third base is Bouchard. He'll be held up there by Warren Schaefer as they don't want to test the arm of Stone Garrett, which is always a wise decision. So that's the first hit for the Isotopes, and it loads the bases with one out. For Coco Montez. Montez batting .281, 15 home runs and 54 runs batted in. And he has a chance to give the Isotopes the early lead here in the bottom of the first as he bats with the sacks full and one out. Here's the pitch, and Montez swings and lines one toward the right field line. It's going to fall just fair and roll toward the corner. Bouchard scores. Perez behind him. He'll score. Holding at third is Tolia at his second base with a two-run double. Goes Coco Montez, and the Isotopes out to a 2-0 lead. That one stayed fair maybe by a foot or less. So the Isotopes do strike first, and they get a pair of runs. And now Alan Trejo, who's in from the right side. Infield is in, and the pitch is taken for a strike on the inside corner, and it's nothing and one. Nothing in one to Trejo, batting .274, 9 homers, 34 ribbies. The pitch is inside, and it's even at one ball and one strike. Dre Jameson, the first rounder out of Ball State. Here's the 1-1, and a swing and a liner foul off to the right, and now 1-2. Jameson, the 34th overall pick in 2019. Dre making his 17th appearance, his 16th start. He's 4-7 with a 6.58 ERA. Coming into this contest, 85 strikeouts and 79 and a third innings. Here's the 1-2, and a swing and a fly ball hit high toward left and deep. Garrett going back, angled to his right. Garrett is at the fence, and it's gone. So it's a three-run homer for Alan Trejo, and it's a five spot for the Isotopes here in the bottom of the first inning. That was hit way up there. I wasn't sure if Trejo got enough to get it out. Obviously here at Albuquerque, the ball jumps quite a bit on its own. But a towering fly ball, and it clears the fence into the bullpen. Not a lot of exit velo, but a towering shot. And a 5-0 Albuquerque lead here in the bottom of the first. So not the start that Dre Jameson had envisioned tonight. Well, let's see if Dre can reset here as Jonathan Morales in from the right side, and the pitch is taken in tight, ball one. 98-mile-an-hour fastball. .357 on the distance, 94-mile-an-hour exit velocity as that swung on and popped up. This is to shallow center field. Corbin Carroll trots in, and Carroll still coming and makes the catch. And that's out number two. So two down and Brett Boswell. Boswell in from the left side, and he's batting .257, 9 homers and 28 runs batted in. Pitch is up high, ball one. Jameson's 1-0 is a strike on the outside corner. Well-placed backdoor slider at 86, and it's 1-1. There's a swing, a shot on one bounce off the glove of Kennedy. It was hard hit and into left field, a base hit, I would guess. I don't think that's going to be an error, and it will be a hit indeed for Brett Boswell. That was a sharp one-hopper, and Kennedy was playing about midway between the infield and outfield grass. Had Kennedy been playing deep 30, probably handles that, but where he was playing, that was a wicked hop for him to handle. So the inning continues, and Jimmy Herron becomes the ninth isotope to bat here in the bottom of the first inning. Herron batting .218 with a home run and 5 runs batted in. Herron playing in his 16th game with Albuquerque. There's the pitch. Runner goes, and the pitch is in for a strike. The throwdown from Marolio is in time, handled on one bounce by Giancarlo Cintra. Nice glove work there by JC. And the caught stealing goes 2-4, and that ends the inning. So it'll be Herron leading off once we get to the second. But a big bottom of the first for the home team. The Isotopes get 5 runs on on 4 hits. The big one, the 3-run homer by Alan Trejo. There were no aces errors, and after that caught stealing, none left. So we're through an inning in Albuquerque. It's the Isotopes 5 and the aces nothing on the Aces Digital Network.
Money talks. Unfortunately, it usually says things like, "Let's buy a dune buggy." Or, "Sure, Daryl will pay us back. He's our brother-in-law." That's why there's cashback checking from Greater Nevada Credit Union. With cashback checking, every time you spend money, you earn money. So the only thing your money will say is, "When did you get so smart about money?" Cashback checking. Just another way Greater Nevada Credit Union helps more people live greater. Learn more at livegreater.com or your local branch. Federally insured by NCUA.
Ready to try something new, healthy, and original? Come visit Salad Works at 5150 May Ann Avenue. With over 60 fresh ingredients to choose from, you can create a salad as original as you are, or enjoy our soups, signature sandwiches, wraps, panini melts, or warm grain bowls. We're even fueling kids' originality with kids' work meals. So don't miss the fun, freshness, and flavor at Salad Works. Sign up for Salad Works Rewards to become an exclusive member and receive a free salad at sign up. Salad Works. Be a original.
At Firehouse Subs, we make our subs differently because our subs can make a difference. Like our spicy Cajun chicken sub with sliced, grilled Cajun seasoned chicken breast, melted pepper jack cheese, house-made Cajun mayo and jalapenos, all on a toasted sub roll. Order online or on the app to have your subs ready for pickup or delivery. Only at Firehouse Subs. Participating U.S. locations.
Stone Garrett starts the top of the second for the Aces, who immediately find themselves on the comeback trail. The Aces are trailing 5-0, and the pitch on the way from Brandon Gold is in for a called strike, and it's 0-1. Well, if we've learned anything on this road trip about the Aces, they never say die, and they are never going to pack it in They've faced bigger deficits on this road trip and have overcome them later in games, as the pitch on the way is a strike on the outside corner. And it's nothing in two to Garrett, who's batting .284 with 28 homers and 93 ribbies to lead the league. Stone yesterday went 1-for-5 with a single and a run scored. The 0-2 is low and outside, and it's 1-2. Stone Garrett, Wilmer Defoe, and Dominic Canzone. Defoe and Canzone both riding 8-game hit streaks into this one. One ball, two strikes, and a pitch. And it is off the outside from Gold, and it's 2-2. Gold, I mentioned, out of Georgia Tech. And he is from Johns Creek, Georgia, attended Johns Creek High School. Pitch, and a swing and a pop-up. This is going to be back of home plate, and Morales, the catcher, pursuing near the on-deck circle, and he makes the catch for out number one. And Jonathan Morales was kind of shoving Takamatsuda, the home plate umpire, out of the way to get where he needed to go. Morales obviously wasn't meaning to shove the umpire by any means, but he was just trying to keep an eye on the ball, and he put his hands out to us to not run into Takamatsuda. So instead of, you know, looking up and possibly running into the umpire, he put his arms out as a buffer. And he just had enough space to make that catch, and that is out number one as Garrett fouls out to the catcher, Morales. And now Wilmer Defoe in from the left side. The third baseman, Boswell, is on the infield grass, and Defoe swings, lets a fly ball to left. Angled back to his right is Jimmy Herron, and Herron just in front of the warning track makes the catch. So quickly, two up and two down, and Dominic Canzone will come up next. Aces Baseball brought to you in part by your friends at Greater Nevada Credit Union. How can we help you live greater? So two down for Canzone, again riding an 8-game hit streak into this one. Dom batting .268, 11 homers, 47 ribbies, and he starred offensively last night for the Aces, drove in three runs and stole two bags. And the pitch is taken for a strike. Canzone bending back out of the way, but that pitch right in there, and it's nothing in one. Canzone officially went 2-for-3 last night. He drew a walk. He reached base three of the four times that he came up. Big shift on, three to the right of second, and the pitch is a strike, a slider that was moving and catches the inside corner, and it's nothing in two. The third baseman, Boswell, who started tight to the infield grass, now goes back and plays the shortstop spot. Those three on the right side of the infield in a cluster as the pitch on the way is swung on and popped up. This is going to be to the left side, but it's plenty playable for Boswell, who drifts to his right, and in shallow left, Boswell, the third baseman, makes the catch to end a quick 1-2-3 inning worked by Brandon Gold. Nothing across for the Aces again. And we go to the bottom of the second. It's 5-0 Isotopes on the Aces Digital Network.
Life, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. It could be tough, but spoiler alert, there's no perfect time to live greater. People in Nevada, it's time to do more than you've done before. Maybe buy a home in Carson City, start a business in Reno, or retire to a cabin in the Ruby Mountains. With help from Greater Nevada Credit Union, you can do anything. It's a matter of fact. Live greater. It's go time.
Start at livegreater.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
You know Red Robin as the home of 25 gourmet burgers and free refills of bottomless fries. And now, for premium Donato's Pizza. Every Donato's Pizza is made fresh to order and loaded edge to edge with toppings, like the large signature pepperoni topped with 100 mouth-watering pepperonis. Go ahead, count them. Whatever you and your crew are craving, Red Robin has you covered. With gourmet burgers, bottomless fries, and Donato's Pizza. Dine in, to go, or delivery. Now, sing it with me.
Red Robin. Yum.
For 30 years, Camelot Party Rentals has offered the largest selection of tents, linens, tables, chairs, and wedding rentals, and is the largest party rentals provider in Reno, Lake Tahoe, and Northern Nevada. Camelot Party Rentals has event specialists that will help you create any event, big or small. Visit their showroom where you can see firsthand all they have to offer for your special event. Go to CamelotPartyRentals.com. That's CamelotPartyRentals.com. Open Monday through Friday from 8 to 5.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. Just crack open a nice cold Coors Light and take the afternoon off to binge-watch anything. Or go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting? Whatever you do, Do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Jimmy Herron, who is up when the bottom of the first inning came to an end, starts the second at the dish, swings at the first pitch from Dre Jameson and nubs it back to the mound. Jameson fields midway between the pitcher's mound and home plate and makes an easy overhand toss to first to get Herron. And on one pitch, there's one out here in the second inning as it goes back to the top of the order and Ryan Vallade. The Isotopes sent all nine to the plate technically in that first inning. And again, Herron was up when Brett Boswell was caught stealing, but Albuquerque scored five runs on four hits, including a three-run homer by Alan Trejo. So this is an inning in which Jameson is looking to bounce back as the pitch is swung on in line on one bounce to the backhand side of the second baseman, Cintron, who fields and throws to first to get Vallade. On two pitches, there are two outs. I don't know if I've ever seen a three-pitch inning. Usually, if there are two pitches and two outs, the third hitter has to take a pitch. Well, let's see. Sean Bouchard in from the right side. The balanced infield, two on either side of second, and the pitch is taken by Bouchard. You can tell by his body language he was never going to swing at it. He relaxed, and it took that pitch in tight. That pitch is up high. And it's 2-0. Two balls, no strikes, and a pitch. And a strike on the inside corner. Jameson locates a 96-mile-an-hour fastball. And it's 2-1 to Bouchard, who walked and scored as part of that five-run bottom of the first. Second baseman Cintron toward the middle, and the 2-1 is in tight. And now 3-1. There is no sun on the field here in Albuquerque. The sun is being blotted out by the clouds, which again are vast behind us. Off in the distance, a blue sky. The pitch, a swing and a chop toward third. One easy bounce taken by Kennedy with a backhand. A throw to first is right on target to get Bouchard. And a quick, easy 1-2-3 inning for Dre Jameson, who had two outs on two pitches. Nothing across for the Isotopes in the second. We go to the third, and it's 5-0 Albuquerque on the Aces Digital Network.
Wake up each morning to the Desert Sun. Desert Sun Bagel Company. Desert Sun Bagel Company uses only fresh, locally sourced ingredients. Our bagels are baked to perfection daily. Coffee from Blind Dog Roasters is always freshly brewed. And your selection is grilled to order, never microwaved. Visit us at 495 Morrill Avenue, just off 4th Street. Or place your online order at DesertSunBagels.com.
Pizzeria Lupo. Reno's first pizzeria to serve Detroit-style square pan pizzas. You can find them alongside their New York-inspired round pies, smoked jumbo chicken wings, salads, and soft-serve ice cream. Choose from one of their masterfully crafted signature pizzas or create your own. Order ahead online at pizzerialupo.com and find them in Reno's Midtown District at 190 West California Avenue.
Slide into home plate and grab a slice of your favorite pizza at Mountain Mike's. For over 40 years, they've been making pizza the way it ought to be, handmade with the freshest and finest ingredients, dough made fresh daily, and toppings to the edge. Reno fans, experience their legendary crispy curly pepperoni, now with two locations on McCarran Boulevard and West 5th Street at Keystone. It's time to hit a home run at Mountain Mike's. Order online for delivery or carryout at mountainmikespizza.com or on their app.
Brandon Gold, the right-hander, is back to work as we go to the top of the third inning. And his first pitch to Jose Herrera is going to miss for ball one. It is 5-0 Albuquerque. And the Isotopes have the outfield straight away. The shortstop, Trejo, is shaded toward the middle. And Gold on the first base side of the slab facing Herrera, who is back in an Aces uniform. And the pitch is given a half-hearted wave and a miss by Jose. And it is 1-1. Joined now by Steve Gilbert. I had a big to-do plan to introduce you in the second inning, the bottom of the second. He's going to talk all about you. And then Dre Jameson in like seven pitches got through that inning, as that is off the outside. And it's 2-1, but Steve, the D-backs beat writer for MLB.com, and figured I'd bring him back after a smashing success of an appearance yesterday. How you doing, man?
That's good to know that that's what the review was, a smashing success
it
for
was.
A professional like yourself. That's outstanding.
Oh, it didn't come from me. That came from others. As that pitch is up and away, and it is 3-1 to Jose Herrera. Now, you and I were talking a little bit before the game. You're a bit surprised to see Herrera back here.
Yeah, you know, he did a nice job for the Diamondbacks up there. The pitchers really like throwing to him. Madison Bumgarner's a big fan of his. He did a really nice job calling a game, following the game plans that they put together. And he actually kept a couple of their pitchers in ball games. There was a foul ball right there.
Foul to the backstop.
See how great? See,
yeah, you jump right in whenever.
No, he did a nice job when Madison Bumgarner was yelling at the umpire a couple of times. Herrera had jumped up and got right in the umpire's face as if to distract him from what was going on in the mound.
Pitch is swung on and roped to right. Pretty well hit. Bouchard, though, is there. He extends up, angled to his right, and makes the catch for out number one. So Herrera flies out to right, and with one down, Dominic Maroglio is coming up. Was Jose behind the plate when the Dambolino thing happened?
That's a great question. I think he might have been. But that didn't. Jose couldn't have done anything about that because that happened during a hand check. And I got a story about that the other night. You know, Madison Bumgarner was pitching and Dambolino was at third base.
And he did not check him, right? As that pitch is in for a strike and it's nothing and one.
He didn't check him in the first, and then the third he was coming in to check him as Madison was walking off, and Madison saw it and made an abrupt left turn and walked to the home plate umpire and had him check it after the game. Said no way he was going to expose himself to Bellino again.
It's fouled off to the third base side, and it's nothing and two on Maroglio, who's batting .281, 9 homers, 31 ribbies. That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen on a baseball field.
I mean, aside from the guy, I thought that was weird, and then the cell phone popped out of the guy's pocket the other night sliding to third base. So I've kind of given up on saying, hey, wow, this is the most weird thing I've seen because, you know, who knows what I'm going to see tonight.
The cell phone thing was at least less creepy, though, as that pitch is off the outside.
Now, that I give you, that was the most creepy thing I saw.
That
was just a very, very strange incident. And Madison still is not forgiven nor forgotten.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was kind of embarrassing, I think, for everybody involved. And, you know, I think more embarrassing, obviously, for Dambolino is that pitch is low. And it's 2-2 to Maroglio, who will be followed by Jake Hager with the bases clear and one out. Here in the third inning, talking with Steve Gilbert of MLB.com, the D-backs writer who's graced us with his presence here the last couple of days. And you got to know Corbin Carroll a little bit over the last couple of days as the 2-2 on the way is in the dirt, and it's 3-2. And if folks missed it yesterday, can you just tell us about what that's been like?
He's just mature beyond his years. Was he 21 right now? A great kid. Seems like he's got a great head on his shoulders and really understands.
As Maroglio swings and cranks one foul, that is way out of here, but way foul down the left field line.
Really understands who he is and how he fits, and just has a really good idea about himself. It's an impressive young man.
I would second that. Three balls and two strikes to Maroglio again. Jake Hager is on deck. 5-0 Isotopes, top of the third inning. The center fielder Valade slightly towards left. The second baseman Montes shaded toward the middle. And Gold, the right-hander, fires. And Maroglio swings and drives another one, but well foul. Maroglio's peppered that part of foul territory down the left field line. Some trees over there getting watered by foul balls off the bat of Maroglio. Did you get to talk to Dom at all when he's in the taxi squad? I don't know how that works for you guys.
Just a little bit, yeah. Just a little bit. See him pregame in the clubhouse. That's usually how I know they're on the taxi squad.
Swing and a fly ball, shallow left field toward the line, racing to his right. Heron and a feet first slide, and Heron makes the catch as he slides across that foul line. He caught it in fair territory. A nice pursuit and a nice finish by Jimmy Heron for out number two. So two down, and now Jake Hager coming up. It's been interesting to talk to guys that have been on the taxi squad about the protocols, because you could take BP on the field, and then you have the choice. You can't be in the dugout. You either have to be in the clubhouse or at the hotel. Which, you know, the hotel is usually the Ritz. And if you stay in the clubhouse, you can't use your phone. So
That I didn't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, that was the clinchers. That swung on in line to left field. That'll be a base hit for Jake Hager, and Hager will hold at first base. So Jake, seeing his first action of the series, gets a single. Actually, he was in there yesterday, I beg your pardon. Hager hit in the two-hole yesterday, and he did get a hit. He had an infield single his last at bat, so his second hit of the series after having game one off. And a Giancarlo Cintron coming up. But, yeah, I think guys wouldn't mind spending the time in the clubhouse, but if you tell them they can't be on their phone, they're going to choose the hotel.
I mean, I was going to say that generation, but I'm also thinking to myself, I don't know if I could sit there for 3 hours without looking at my phone once or twice.
Yeah, I don't think that's something you can crush the younger generations for nowadays, is that pitch is in for a strike and it's nothing and one. Outfield straight away, the third baseman Boswell is right at the edge of the cutout, even with the bag. The first baseman Tolia is holding on Hager, the runner at first. As again, the ace is trailing 5-0. Cintron awaiting an 0-1 pitch, and it's on the way. And it's low and in, and it's 1-1. You a fan of the Field of Dreams game, by the way?
I am. I think, yeah, I'm a sucker for that kind of stuff. I love the movie, and I just think the idea of it just is tremendous.
Okay. There's been some back and forth on it today among some folks in the Twitterverse, so I kind of wanted to get your thoughts with that game happening today.
There is always back and forth on any topic in the Twitterverse. There's not one topic you can bring up that there won't be a back and forth on, I think I've discovered.
I think the people that are in the non-Field of Dreams camp, non-Field of Dreams game camp, they think it's a little corny, no pun intended. As the 1-1 pitch is swung on and chopped toward the middle and is going to get through for a base knock. Hager holds it second and a seeing-eye single off the bat of Giancarlo Cintron, who seems to get a hit in every single game in which he plays, as evidenced by his average, which has been hovering around 400 the entire time he's been with Reno. So two on with two out. And Corbin Carroll up with a chance again to extend a 9-game hit streak. Corbin struck out swinging his first time up.
I like what you did there with the corny thing. That was good with the Field of Dreams.
I really
did. Cornfields and the whole thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. You really didn't mean
to.
I really did.
I swear to you, I did not. I did not. But I'm a fan of the game. As the pitch on the way is in the dirt, ball one. I mean, I think it's a cool showcase for Major League Baseball. You have the Winter Classic with the NHL and what other sport has something now? Everybody's doing something. Does the NBA have something?
That's a good question. I don't know if the NBA does, but I see where you're going with that. You know, the NBA plays over the NFL plays over in Europe.
Yeah, NFL Europe or in Mexico City or wherever is the pitch is taken in tight, and it's two balls and no strikes.
That's a great thing. I think it just kind of brings you back to, like, you know, the essence of baseball and just kind of the hokiness of some of that. I think that's good. I think that should be part of it, too.
Two balls and no strikes to Corbin Carroll. And the pitch is swung on in line hard, and what a backhand by Tolia, back of first base, and he'll take it himself, three unassisted. That is a big-time play, and a big-league play turned in by Tolia on some really hard contact by Corbin Carroll. And then Tolia had to ole it with a backhand and then sprint to the bag to beat Corbin, which is always really tough to do. And that is a big-time play from the first-round pick of the Rockies in 2019. No runs, two hits, no errors, and two men left. We're going to have Steve through the fourth inning, so we'll take a quick break. We'll come back for the bottom of the third. I forgot where we were. Bottom of the third. It's 5-0 Isotopes on the Aces Digital Network.
The Reno Aces have the best entertainment deal for the summer. It's the Atlantis Casino Resort Spa 8-game package. You'll get 8 tickets to can't-miss games at Greater Nevada Field, and 2 free buffets and a night stay at the Atlantis Casino.
Certain restrictions may apply.
To get your tickets and perks, visit renoaces.com under the Tickets and Promotions tab. The Atlantis Casino Resort Spa 8-game package at renoaces.com.
When Brooklyn hurt her arm, I knew there was no way she could sit through a long wait in the ER. Rock Express is the only orthopedic urgent care, which means they're experts in treating injured bones, joints, and muscles fast.
The whole thing took less than an hour.
And it costs a lot less than a visit to the ER.
Rock Express put me back together fast, and they can do it for you, too.
Rock Express, now in Reno, Sparks, and Carson City. Visit renoortho.com.
Don't let ouch ruin your day. Swift Orthopedic Urgent Clinic will get you the care and treatment you need when you need it. Swift accepts walk-ins and same-day appointments. Their orthopedic specialists are experienced in diagnosing and treating car accident or personal injuries, sports injuries, broken bones, strains and sprains, muscle pain, injured joints, and back and neck pain. With locations in Sparks and in Reno, relief isn't far away. Learn more at swifturgentclinic.com.
Dre Jameson back to work in the bottom of the third inning, and he deals the first pitch outside, ball one, to Carlos Perez. It's 5-0 Isotopes. Zach Bayrudy joined by Steve Gilbert, D-backs beat writer for MLB.com, who's here in Albuquerque for a couple days. The 1-0 pitch is swung on and missed by Perez, and the count 1-1. Before we went to break, we were talking about the Field of Dreams game, and you wanted to
a little bit. When we talk about how, you know, it's a little hokey or whatever, I think we sometimes forget that because this is our jobs and because people around, it takes that pitch high for a ball. You know, we take it so seriously, but for the average fan out there, they have life, they have a job, they have, you know, so they like that. They don't live and die the same way we do. As that was a called strike right there. So you kind of see that. And when I'm coming here and not totally focused on the game, and I'm kind of looking around, and you see these fans, you realize that they're taking a break, they're spending their hard-earned money, you know, that they deserve to be entertained.
It's a swing and a chop to third. Two bounces taken by Kennedy. A crow hop and a throw across the diamond for first in time to get Perez. And a count, nothing and one. That's the first out of the inning. And now Michael Tolia. A count, nothing and one. I don't know where that came from.
I have this effect on people. You know,
I was just going to say it makes total sense that, you know, those folks who would take in that game are far less cynical, you know, than we have become maybe working in the game for so long. Not saying that we become cynical, but, you know, I think we'd maybe become immune to those feels that you get from you know, having a venue like that, as the pitch on the way is taken in tight for a ball one from Tolia.
And I think, you get to see that when guys get called up, you get a reminder of the feels,
yes,
right? And
yes.
I get it on the other end when the guy makes his debut in the big leagues. Those are refreshing moments.
That 1-0 pitch is in for a strike, and it's 1-1. On the flip side, I also get now a lot of the cynicism that can be born in this game because you have guys that get sent down, and sometimes it's guys who are performing well, and it's just a numbers game. Is that swung on and missed, and it's 1-2. And a new thing for me since I've been here in AAA is you get to see the real business side of the game, the real hardcore business side of the game, which, you know, working for a decade and a half in high A, you don't really see as much of that as that pitch is low and inside, and it's 2-2, if that makes sense.
No, it does, and we see the game differently when it's your job as opposed to when you're a fan and you pay money to come out to a game or listen on the radio.
It's a swing and a miss, and that pitch off speed from Jameson at 84 and Tolia down on strikes. Two away, and for Trey, that's his first strikeout. And with two down, Coco Montez is coming up. Montez had a two-run double in the first inning. Is this the first time you're watching Dre Jameson in the flesh?
This is the first time. They think very highly of him, too. Another one of those guys we talked about last night that they are counting on in the future.
I mean, it's just one after another in terms of these big pitching prospects. As that is a strike on the outside. It's nothing and one. You talk about Dre and Tommy Henry, who, of course, just got his first big league win. Ryan Nelson, Fought, you saw the other night. Were you here to see Fought?
I was not here to see Fought.
Pitches in for a strike, and it's nothing and two. He's impressive, but, you know, it is an impressive pipeline of pitching coming up through the chain. And next inning, now there are two outs. We're going to wait till next inning. But I want to talk maybe about the blueprint moving forward for the D-backs. That pitch is up and away, and it's 1-2.
Now, is it Fought or Fat? Because I've
Fought.
Heard it both ways. It's Fought.
Yes.
Okay, glad you're... Because they used to say Fought, and then they at times went back to Fat, and now, okay, so you've probably heard it straight from the horse's mouth.
I did. I went down and asked him in Vegas before his first start. I was like, Fat? He goes, oh, no, Fought. I said, okay. There's the 1-2, and it's off the outside. Two balls and two strikes. And with the way he's been pitching, I think you're going to remember that that's how you say his name, because he's a guy that has made a big impression in his early time in the PCL over just two starts. Jameson into his motion, the 2-2 is swung on and pulled toward third, glove nicely by Kennedy on a short hop, and he throws across to first in time to get Montes. And the side retired, and Jameson has retired six in a row since that rugged first inning. And nothing across for the Isotopes in the bottom of the third. More with Steve when we come back. We go to the top of the fourth. Here in Albuquerque, it's 5-0 Isotopes on the Aces Digital Network.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Ready to try something new, healthy, and original? Come visit Salad Works at 5150 May Ann Avenue. With over 60 fresh ingredients to choose from, you can create a salad as original as you are or enjoy our soups, signature sandwiches, wraps, panini melts, or warm grain bowls. We're even fueling kids' originality with kids' work meals. So don't miss the fun, freshness, and flavor at Salad Works. Sign up for Salad Works Rewards to become an exclusive member and receive a free salad at sign up. Salad
Works. That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill.
Back inside Isotopes Park in Albuquerque, Zach Bay-Rudy, Steve Gilbert, Diamondbacks beat writer for MLB.com. Glad you're with us tonight here in the land of enchantment, where Buddy Kennedy leads off in the fourth, and Kennedy is 0-for-1. He grounded to a short, his only other time up. Again, the Isotopes leading 5-0. You think the land of enchantment fits the bill here in Albuquerque? Because I kind of do.
Yeah, it's a beautiful view. I mean, right where you're sitting right here, we can see the mountains. It's just it's spectacular.
The Sandias Mountains off in the distance. As it's still a blue sky off in the horizon as the pitch to Kennedy is swung on and lifted toward that blue sky out to deep right, angled back is Bouchard, and Bouchard has room enough back there to make the catch. Again, it's big toward right center field, 404 to right center here at this ballpark, and Kennedy hitting it out that way. And on one pitch, there's one out, and Stone Garrett is coming up next, who fouled out to the catcher Morales' first time up. We touched on it a little bit yesterday, but what's the real path forward here for the Diamondbacks? And I know they want to draft and develop, and maybe somewhere along the line add a free agent, but do they feel like they can get back to relevancy through strictly drafting and developing? And that might not be a question that's out of bounds given what we're seeing here in Reno as that pitch is in for a strike.
Yeah, you know, I think that's going to be the basic core of it all, and then, you know, they can supplement. They've spent money before, whether it was Zach Greinke or Madison Bumgarner, so they could do that again.
Garrett swings and drives one well towards right center field. Moving to his left is Valade, and Valade makes the catch for out number two.
I think, you know, you might start to see over the next month or two some of these young pitchers we're talking about here get called up in a relief role. One of the things Mike Hazen, general manager Mike Hazen, has teased to us during, you know, media sessions has been, you know, not necessarily, these guys might not necessarily come up as starters initially. This might be a good way to kind of break them in as getting experience in the bullpen.
Two down, and Wilmer Defoe riding an eight-game hit streak, another chance to extend it. He fly to left his first time up, and that pitch is off the outside, ball one. What's the real timeline they're talking about up there for, you know, this team talking about the Diamondbacks being competitive again in the NL West as the 1-0 pitch is swung on and roped toward the right field corner, and that will hook foul.
You know, for Mike Hazen, he – the sooner the better.
For sure.
He was talking about why they didn't do maybe more of a sell-off at the trade deadline. He said, because I'm tired of being in this position. I'm tired of losing. And so I think he's pushing hard that, you know, next year they're going to start to really, you know, look at a record 500 or better and start to kind of build that group.
The intriguing thing and the fascinating thing is this is all set against the backdrop of a team like the Giants suddenly winning 107 games
yeah.
last year, and they became good, it seemed like, quick, and that may have been a little bit fluky as that pitch is outside and the count 2-1, but, you know, if you're a team like the Diamondbacks, the NL West, you're looking over there at the Bay and you're thinking, how did they get so good so fast?
And I think one of the things that they're looking at, too, is kind of building a culture of winning.
pitches in the dirt, and it's 3-1.
And that's one of the things that you see happening here at Reno. You guys have a great record, and these younger guys are getting the experience in a winning atmosphere, and you really can't beat that because that carries over. There's a certain thing that comes with winning and understanding what it takes to win baseball games.
3-1 pitch is swung on and chopped to the right side. It's going to be taken on two bounces by Montes. He'll throw to first to get Defoe and end the inning. We're going to keep it here and chat with Steve between innings here. Nothing across for the Aces in at the top of the fourth, so we'll go to the home half. I always tell people this. When I was in the Cal League, I first started 2006 through 2009. The San Jose Giants were always really good. They were putrid in the big leagues, but they were really, really good at the minor league level, and it was almost like there was this insistence from San Francisco that they wanted to keep winning in San Jose. You know, people said, oh, great, you're winning championships in San Jose, but it'd be nice if you did something in San Francisco. And wouldn't you know it, you know, 10, 12, and 14, the Giants rip off three World Series titles. And you can't convince me that it wasn't that winning culture at the minor league level that led to that, because all those guys that were the core of that San Francisco team to win those championships came up and won at a level like San Jose. So I think there is something absolutely to winning at this level.
And there seems like there's a really good culture in your clubhouse, and the fact that the guys, it's a tight-knit, talking with Corbin Carroll, it sounds like it's a really tight-knit group of guys. And that's important. These are guys that are going to be in the big leagues and making up a big portion of the Diamondbacks roster. And for them to have a good culture and a good relationship, tight bond, that goes a long way over a 162 game season.
How do the Diamondbacks try and find a consistency through what's been a lot of regime changes over the last decade? I mean, I've been around the D-backs just as a visitor, in Visalia for a number of years, and I was in Visalia when I think it was Kevin Towers and all those guys got fired, maybe over 10 years ago now, but it seems like there's just constant regime change. How do they find that in the midst of all the chaos?
And I think that you saw a kind of a difference last year, whereas maybe in the past they might have changed regimes after a 110-loss season. They feel good about the plan that Mike Hazen has, the group that he's put together in the front office. They felt obviously good about Torrey and what he put together, as a manager to give him the extension and bring him back for this year. So I think they've learned from that, because Kevin Towers was fired after the 2014 season, and you had Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart out after 16. That's what you're referring to, the
yep.
change.
That pitch is swung on and missed, and it's nothing and one to Alan Trejo. Again, talking with Steve Gilbert, MLB.com beat writer for the D-backs, here with us in Albuquerque. As that pitch swung on and missed by Trejo, again, nothing and one. We're in the bottom of the fourth. It's 5-0 Isotopes, and Jameson deals, and it's swung on and cracked foul off to the right, and the count is nothing and two. Trejo hit the three-run homer that was the centerpiece of that five-run first inning for Albuquerque. As again, the Isotopes scored five in the first, but Jameson enters this inning having retired six in a row.
And that's a really good sign when a kid can.
That's a swung on and driven straight away center field, but right there is Carroll, and there's one down. I was waiting for you to jump in.
Kind of know my limits. It's one thing to say it takes a pitch for a strike. I didn't want to call that. No, but for a guy to settle in after a tough first inning, I mean, that's, that can spiral out of control, and it seems like he's done a nice job of settling in.
Yeah, this is a team that does not give away innings. They don't give away at bats. Down, I know you weren't with us in Vegas, but on Friday night in Vegas.
I wish I was with you in Vegas. That would have been fun.
It was a fun trip as the Aces won all six as that swung on and missed by Morales. But, I mean, Dominic Maroglio in the ninth inning, a pinch hitter with one on and two out down to the final strike. Took a couple of pitches, missed by an eyelash, and down to the last strike, hit a two-run home run. And it's just that kind of vibe in the clubhouse. And that's in for a strike, and it's nothing in two. But the same with these pitchers. I've been impressed with pretty much all of them as far as their mound presence and composure at a very young age. When you have a rocky start like that, but you could bring it back as that swung on and missed, and now make it eight in a row retired by Dre as Morales is down swinging out number two into Brett Boswell coming up next.
And I think another reason why Mike Hazen was talking about not wanting to sell off too many pieces is he wants, when these guys come up towards the end of this year maybe, there to be some veterans there that they can rely on, that Merrill Kelly in a rotation, yeah, and Ian Kennedy in the bullpen, guys who have been there and can kind of bring these younger players along.
Pitch is taken for a strike. It's nothing and one. Who are a couple of the younger players you've been impressed with up there that you've seen?
Well, Alec Thomas has done a really nice job for them. Varsho is still, hasn't been here for a couple years, but he's impressive.
Swung on and missed, and now nothing in two.
Shortstop Geraldo Perdomo, has had some struggles at the plate, but it never, it seems to affect his approach, his attitude that he brings to the ballpark. He always seems like he's a confident kid that he's going to, snap out of it.
No balls, two strikes to Boswell. Balanced infield, and the center fielder Carroll fighting the sun now, which is poked through the clouds, and Carroll being blinded, holding the glove off to his right. The pitch is swung on and missed, and down on strikes goes Boswell, and that ends the inning. I'm going to keep you here for one more half inning because you jipped me yesterday with not showing.
Absolutely, happy to do it.
But were you surprised that Perdomo has hung up there for as long as he has without being sent back down?
Not necessarily, because I think they really believe in him, and I think they've seen some improvement. And I think that he's done a nice job defensively for the most part, so I think that that has kind of kept him in the big leagues.
Yeah, we saw him briefly here last year, and I thought maybe there was a chance we'd see him here again. But, kudos to the Diamondbacks for, I think, believing that, that approach, that attitude that you say that he has is going to get him through those lean times.
Yeah, and, they needed him this year with Nick Ahmed, being out for the whole year with the shoulder situation that he's got. And it's going to be fascinating to see what happens next year when Nick comes back.
Yeah.
And Perdomo now has a full year under his belt. I'm not so sure that Perdomo doesn't enter spring training as the odds-on favorite to win that job.
Interesting.
So that would be interesting to see how that all transpires.
We're joined by Steve Gilbert, the D-backs beat writer for MLB.com. We're between innings heading to the top of the fifth, where the Isotopes lead the Aces 5-0. You've been around the Diamondbacks now for a couple of decades, and I just learned that in talking with you before the game. And I'm still, I think, getting to know what the Diamondbacks are all about. But how rooted in analytics are they as opposed to old-school type thinking?
I think that they are, under Mike Hazen, they've modernized quite a bit. I think when you had Tony La Russa there with Dave Stewart, it was very old school, and it was a different way of looking at it. Their analytics guy under Tony La Russa, and I say this in all seriousness, was trained as a veterinarian, and it was a guy, and I'm being dead serious now, Ed Lewis, and very nice man, but he was it, and then he hired some interns. Now they have, they brought Mike Fitzgerald over from Pittsburgh, who was the,
really like Mike,
who it came up with all the statistical things for Pittsburgh in terms of their shifts defensively, and they've got this. They built a whole department, so it's quite extensive. But they also do rely on old school stuff too. They do balance it.
First pitch of the inning is swung on and popped up, back of home plate, and giving it a look is Morales, but that's going to be back out of play. And again, it's Canzone leading off. The top of the fifth inning, Canzone popped out to third, his first time up, and Canzone another shot to extend an eight-game hit streak. It's just funny because I coming from the A's, they've had the same people in place, it seems, forever. And I'm not just talking about Billy Beane and David Force, but all the people that fall underneath them have been in place for a long time as that swung on and missed. And the count nothing in two. And I think that the genius of the A's, in many ways, and Keith Lippman, their longtime farm director, had told me about this. The genius of the A's, they were able to evolve over the years. They went from the Moneyball A's and kind of evolved from there as that swung on and lifted to shallow center field. Valade coming in, and Valade will get to his spot and make the catch for out number one. But it's funny, not all organizations are like that, and every organization operates differently. And part of the fun for me in getting here to Reno and to the D-backs organization is understanding how the Diamondbacks want to operate and what their core values are.
Yeah, they give Torrey a lot of information before the game, but then they let him run the game, which is somewhat different sometimes than you hear from other managers of other teams. And it's a feel thing, too. You got to have a balance.
Pitch is in tight, ball one to Jose Herrera. And I think that's something, and I'm not poo-pooing analytics by any means, but I think that's something where a lot of organizations fall short, and even at times the A's, where they don't let their guys have feel in the dugout as that pitch is in tight and it's one and one.
And there's something to be said for having a little bit of feel too. Now, you don't ever want to throw out the analytics. It's valuable. But it's like anything else. You don't want to disregard information and shortchange yourself. So it's just finding the right balance.
It's a swing and a ground ball pulled to the right side by Herrera. Going to be taken by Montes, and he throws to first to get Herrera for the second out, and Dominic Maroglio coming up next.
I think what I'm going to do, by the way, is take that pitch clock with me. when I leave here, because this the pace of game down here is so much different than the big leagues.
Isn't it a better product because of it?
I think 100%. And it's not so much that you want to get the game over with, it's just that the game moves. There's more action as opposed to guys stepping off, guys stepping out, and this dead time.
Here's the pitch to Maroglio, and it's low and outside, ball one.
I don't think anybody wants games to get over quicker just because they want to get games over quicker. They just want more action. They want more movement, a better pace.
I would absolutely agree. And this is my first year being exposed to the enforcement of the pitch clock, as that's in for a strike, and it's 1-1. The pitch clock was around, for a couple of years in the PCL, but it was merely a suggestion last year. It was just like it wasn't even there. But now it's very rigid with how they enforce it. Here's the 1-1, and Maroglio takes low and in, and it's 2-1.
I think at the big league level, we've seen a little bit of improvement with the guys that use the pitch comm, where the catcher has the little thing that you can push, and the pitcher gets it right in his ear, so they don't have to go through these extensive sets of signs with guys on second base.
The 2-1 is low and outside, and it's 3-1.
Because that got to be ridiculous because, they all had to keep changing their signs and, okay, are you on this boat? And the guys get crossed up.
And we got to meet on the mound about it.
Yes. So with this, it's interesting.
Three balls and one strike to Maroglio. Base is clear, two outs, and the pitch is swung on and chopped to third. It's going to be taken by Trejo, who throws on to first and in time to get Maroglio. And that will end the inning. Steve's going to stick around for another half inning. Nothing across for the Aces in the top of the fifth. We're going to go to the bottom of the fifth again. The Isotopes are leading 5-0, joined by Steve Gilbert, D-backs beat writer for MLB.com.
So the pitch comm, the catcher has like a little, thing on his, either on his wrist or he puts it on his shin guards, and he can push a button, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the pitcher then hears through an earpiece in his hat what pitch is being called. So I was joking with Dalton Varsho when he was catching to start the year for the Diamondbacks. I said, the only thing that's missing is for the pitcher to have something he can push. And instead of, yes or no, it should be like, okay, but it's your fault if he hits it far. Or, all right, if you insist, know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So you can have some communication back and forth.
A little back and forth,
exactly.
Right? That's part of the relationship among battery mates. How do you feel, kind of expanding on that thought, how do you feel Major League Baseball has done with implementing these changes to the game? Because it's almost sacrilegious, right? Talking about baseball being this sport rooted in its history, and that's both its blessing and its curse, I think. But for Major League Baseball, you kind of have to handle these changes with kid gloves. How do you feel like they've done in that?
I think they've done a pretty nice job of trying to balance that, of trying to keep the game similar, but also evolve a little bit. And I think that the complaint about analytics or there's too many numbers in the game. I have a friend of mine who's in the business world, and he says, baseball. He's a little older. He's in his 60s, and he says, baseball, it's just changed so much. And I said, okay, well, when you do inventory, do you count it by hand? How do you do the – we have this whole program. And I said, well, see, that's – you've evolved from where it was because it's more efficient, and that's what these guys are doing. And it's the younger generation is used to it.
That's a really interesting way to look at it, like to make that analogy to somebody who might retort with what your friend did.
And it's just, when we start out as youngsters, we see the game a certain way, and then we expect it to stay that way the rest of our lives, and that's just not the way the world works, much less baseball.
So here is Jimmy Herron as we start the bottom of the fifth inning. It's 5-0 Albuquerque. Dre Jameson's been in a groove. He's retired 9 in a row as that pitch is going to miss for ball one. Herron started this stretch by tapping out on the first pitch of the second inning back to Dre. Carroll deep in center field straight away. The infield is balanced, 2 on either side of second as that pitch is in tight, and it's 2-0. Such a big part of what I do now, I think going back to like 2014, is saying where the infielders are. And I never used to have to do it in my earlier days as much as I do it now. And I feel like I spent a good balance of the time basically telling people how the infield is positioned as that's in for a strike and it's 2-1. But what do you think about the shift in banning it?
Yeah, that's one thing where I'm not in favor of the new guy, six guys on the right side.
Swinging a line shot into right field and a base hit past the diving Cintron who went sprawling to his left. So Herron who started the stretch of nine in a row, retired by Jameson, puts an end to it with a leadoff single here in the fifth, and it goes back to Valade at the top of the order.
I don't blame teams for doing the shift because it makes sense, but there's so many times you see a ball just hit up the middle and there's a guy right there. It's hit over here and there's a guy right there, so they know what they're doing. I just think it would be make for more action if they made, you know, two infielders on each side, and that's that.
So you're for banning the
shift? Banning the shift, yes.
That swung on in line to right field and right at Dominic Canzone, who makes the catch for out number one. So Valade retired on one pitch, and he's 0 for 2.
If for no other reason than my scorebook can be better, because, you know, you put 6-3, but the shortstop was playing over at second base. But, no, I mean, all kidding aside, I think it adds to more action within the game.
You know, I forget who I was talking with last. I think maybe Seth Frankoff last year. About banning the shift, he goes, you know, I don't want to see Manny Machado playing right field. Like, I don't want to see these alignments where you take away a guy's natural position. It's like, no, I want to watch Manny Machado play third base and throw to first, and back goes Heron.
And that's interesting that Seth said that, and it shows you what kind of guy he is. He's such a good guy. Most pitchers would say, oh, I love the shift. Don't ban the shift. Most hitters will say, oh, yeah, absolutely, ban the shift.
Yeah, I was taken back by it as that pitch is in tight. And it's ball one to Bouchard, and Seth and I are real close to go way back, so I know he wasn't just giving me a line. Like, he really believes that that's better for the game. And so I was shocked. I was in your camp. I thought that he was going to say, oh, no, you know, like, align it the way I can get outs. The 1-0 pitch is taken for a strike, and it's even at 1-1 to Bouchard.
But, you know, for me, and I'm sure for you too, when you were coming up, you know, watching baseball, a ball hit right up the middle, a base hit. Now a ball hit right up the middle is usually not a base hit.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be more heady as a hitter, which, you know, coupled with the fact that these pitchers have otherworldly stuff now as that's fouled off and it's 1-2, it's getting harder to control an at-bat in a way where you can control where you're going to put the ball, because you see a guy like a Trey Jameson, you know, who's going to throw 98 to 100 and come from all different sorts of angles and have, you know, three different sliders or whatever he's got out there. Like, it's tough to have those types of at-bats where you're like, all right, I'm going to get a ball and I'm going to spray it to the right side to beat the shift. Like, it's tougher and tougher to do that as that pitch is up and in. Runner goes. The throw down by Maroglio is in time. What a seed by Maroglio to get Jimmy Heron. He put that glove of Cintron right on the backside of Heron, and he is caught stealing 2-4.
So getting back to the shift, with a left-handed hitter, if you notice when they have two strikes, they'll just move everybody off that left side for the most part.
Yeah.
So one of the things the Diamondbacks worked on during spring training is laying down a bunt with two strikes.
Ah.
And a number of guys were good bunters.
That swung on and lifted to a deep right center field. This is getting back toward the gap, and it's going to one hop between Kennedy and Carroll. At second base is Bouchard, and he has a double.
And so they worked on it, and there was such hesitation to actually try the bunt, because they were always worried, well, if I bunt it foul, I look like an idiot. Because people are like, what are you doing bunting with two strikes? So Josh Rojas kept saying he was going to do it, kept saying he was going to do it. Finally, his dad texted him and said, why aren't you doing this? You said you were going to do it. And so against the Giants, he dropped down a two-strike bunt. It ended up being a base hit, and he ended up coming around scoring his big play in the game. And Gabe Kapler, I was filling in for the MLB.com Giants person who wasn't there until later, so I sat in on Gabe's pregame thing.
Uh-huh. The pitch on the way is swung on and chopped toward third. It's going to be taken by Kennedy, and he'll throw to first in time to get Perez, and we're going to keep Steve right here because this is cool. No runs, two hits, no errors, and one man left stranded by the Isotopes. We go to the top of the sixth, and it's 5-0.
And so Gabe Kapler was just talking, and he said in general, not knowing who I was in this media scrum, there was like five people, he said, man, that Rojas last night, that was a real heads-up play. I wonder what prompted him to bunt with two strikes, because I've been trying to get my hitters to do it, because statistically speaking, with two strikes, your chances of getting a base hit are not good, especially when you're hitting into the shift, whereas if you can get a bunt down however many times out of 10, that's almost a guaranteed hit. It's a gift.
Yeah.
So I'm just standing there, I'm like, well, the story is, and I told him the story, and he just was fascinated by that. Sure enough, the Giants ended up laying down a two-strike bunt. I forget if it was Crawford, it was somebody, one of the left-handed hitters.
Uh-huh.
And so then it started to become like a thing. Varsho's tried to do it, now he bunted foul when he tried to do it. So You know, Torrey's trying to continue to say it's okay. Yeah, you might have fouled, but that's all right.
Don't worry about the optics.
Don't worry about the optics of it. But it was Rojas was like it was so hard for him to get over the optics of you're a moron because you bunted with two strikes and you're out.
Well, and I guess to add to that, when you're bunting in that situation where they're basically vacating, you know, if you're a left-handed hitter, the left side, you don't have to be too fine with
no,
the bunt.
No, it doesn't have to be a good bunt. It just has to be a little far away from the pitcher and fair, and that's it.
I never thought about that, but it's very interesting that you bring that up, and I'm going to actually start looking for that now that this might be a thing.
And they worked on it all spring. They had a little bunting field, and with a few of the guys. It was Varsho, it was Rojas, and it was somebody else, and it was just. You know, and they challenged Josh. How many times do you think you could lay down a bunt? Now, Josh, always a very confident kid, said 7 or 8 times out of 10 I could do that. So, naturally, then Torrey said, well, what's your batting average? If you're able to do that 7 out of 10 times with two strikes, that changes the whole equation. Exactly.
That's fascinating, Steve. It's Jake Hager in from the right side. 5-0 Isotopes, and the pitch from Gold, who's been spot on today, is in for a strike, and it's nothing and one. Hager singled his only other time up. He's a ninth place hitter, and he'll be followed by the top of the order, Giancarlo Cintron and Corbin Carroll. The Aces have just 2 hits, and the Isotopes scored all 5 of their runs in the bottom of the first inning. The pitch is outside, and it's 1-1. There's not been a ton to talk about outside of that bottom of the first inning. What do you think about automatic balls and strikes, and is this the first time you're seeing the automatic balls and strikes?
I didn't even realize I was seeing it.
There you go. Well, that might tell you something, as the 1-1 pitch is off the outside, and it's 2-1.
Were we doing this last night?
Yeah. Yeah, this has been since the middle of May. So automatic balls and strikes. So Hawkeye, the home plate umpire, is wearing an earpiece, and Hawkeye relays the call into the earpiece, and then the umpire relays the call, and it's a 3D strike zone as that's swung on and fouled off to the third base side, and it's 2-2. Do you know how they come up with the strike zone?
No.
So it's like it's a bespoke zone for each hitter, so they get measured. And, you know, the hitter comes up, Jake Hager's up, and, you know, here's the strike zone on a 3D box. And you can actually see it. This ballpark doesn't have it, but Greater Nevada Field in Reno, Vegas had it. They have the actual box up on the video display, so you can see. Is that swung on and missed by Hager, who's down on strikes? And that is the second strikeout for Brandon Gold as we go back to the top of the order at Giancarlo Cintron.
I mean, it makes sense in the sense that, you know, you have this box that you see on TV all the time, and you have, you know, StatCast and all that. So you... It's amazing, though, how correct the umpires are for the most part.
Yeah.
In with guys throwing 100 miles an hour with nasty, you know, sliders and whatnot, they do get it right a lot.
Cintron swings and pops this one back out of play, and that'll be strike one on JC right beneath us. You know, there are a couple instances where it's gone wrong. One instance where it went horribly wrong in May. It was the end of May. Buddy Kennedy with the bases loaded. And one out, took a pitch that, I mean, everybody in the ballpark thinks is ball four. I called it ball four. I didn't even need to see. Is that swung on and wallops, but right to the shortstop trail for out number two, despite hard contact by Cintron, and now Carroll coming up. But Kennedy took a pitch. I think it was a 3-1 pitch outside, thought it was outside, ended up clipping, like, the outer portion of this box, right? So it was Juan Graterol, our catcher at the time, who was the runner at third in this bases loaded situation. So Buddy takes his armor off, starts to go up the first baseline. Graterol comes home, and Fernando Abad, who's pitching for Tacoma, sees that the pitch was actually called a strike, as that's chopped on one big bounce to Montes, who throws on to first to get Carroll, and that ends the inning. But Buddy, you know, starts going up the first baseline. Graterol trots home, and Fernando Abad's like, no, it was a strike. And so technically our catcher was caught stealing going from third to home because everybody in the ballpark thought the pitch was outside. And if you watched it on TV, it was a miss. Like, the pitch was outside, but it just caught a little hair of this invisible strike zone. And that's where it can go horribly wrong. But other than that, I think it's been a pretty good experiment for the most part.
That's fascinating. I would never have noticed.
The thing, too, you good for another half inning?
Yeah, okay. For sure.
The thing, too, is that, and I was not expecting this to be a thing for me, but you don't see hitters complain to the umpires. And, you know, I never realized how much that maybe kind of wore on me a little bit. And then I thought about it long and hard. And one of the players I couldn't stand watching growing up was Paul O'Neill, partly because he was a Yankee. and he killed the Red Sox. But partly because every time he struck out looking and got rung up, he'd have a song and a dance for the umpire. And I'm like, I'm just tired of seeing this guy's song and dance. And you don't see that anymore, which I think is kind of refreshing.
Now, you do see it at the big league level, though.
Right.
You still see it at the big league level. One thing you don't see at the big league level that I saw last night that was shocking to me was the Albuquerque manager came out to argue a call at second base. And with replay now, you don't see that. So that was a new thing.
Do you miss that in the big leagues?
A little bit.
I haven't been around. I've done one big league broadcast, A's Angels, in September of 19. The one replay review that I got, it was during my inning, was they lost track of the count, and it was Shohei Ohtani. And it was like, okay, it's weird, you know, but that was the one replay review that I've been exposed to personally at a big league level. But you've been okay with how they've gone about replay?
Yeah, the replay's been fine. I mean, it does slow it down a little bit because managers want to check every single thing, even though they only have about 10 or 12 seconds. I did a story earlier this year on the Diamondbacks replay guy, Alan Campbell, who sits in there with, 20 different angles on these screens and has to quickly make a decision within, I think, 10 or 12 seconds to let Torrey know.
Pitch is swung on and roped foul by Michael Tolia. As we start the bottom of the sixth inning, Zach Beirutti, Steve Gilbert, the D-backs beat writer from MLB.com, joining us here in Albuquerque. And a strike one on Tolia, the cleanup hitter for the Isotopes, who's 1-for-2. Tolia has singled and scored as part of that 5-run bottom of the first inning. That's been it. It's 5-0 Albuquerque. The pitch is swung on and fouled to the backstop. And the count 0-2. It'll be Tolia followed by Montes and Trejo. 4-5-6 for the Topes here in the sixth inning. 5 runs, 6 hits for Albuquerque. No runs, 2 hits for Reno. And neither team has committed an error. As Jameson on the third base side of the slab has been very sharp since that rugged first. Outfield straight away. Balanced infield in the 0-2 is swung on and hit high and deep to right. Going back is Canzone. It's going to be over his head and one hop the fence. Tolia is into second base, and he has a leadoff double. And Michael Tolia is impressed in his AAA debut, which he's making this series. Again, he homered in his debut on Tuesday. And tonight, 2 more hits after getting 2 hits in his debut on Tuesday. This is a double to start the sixth inning, and Montes coming up next. So how is that handled by the replay guy? Like, there's a lot of pressure involved.
There's a lot of pressure involved, and, he has certain angles, and he's experienced now. He's done it since the first time they did replay. So now he has an idea of, okay, plays at first, this is usually the best angle. Plays at second, this is, all those different kinds of things. And there is a lot of pressure.
Swinging a chop toward the middle, and it's going to be backhanded by Cintron. He'll throw to third just in case Tolia had an aggressive round of the bag, but Tolia staying put at third base. That'll be a base hit for Coco Montes. That was right between Cintron and Defoe. Cintron was able to backhand, and then he made some slight contact with Defoe after backhanding. So Montes with an infield single, and the Isotopes are set up to build on this lead here in the sixth inning as Alan Trejo coming up. It always fascinates me watching the NFL and seeing, a coach that has either a great percentage success rate on the replay and a coach that has a very poor success rate on the replay.
And sometimes they do it because it's late innings.
Right, you got to burn.
Yeah, you're going to use it anyway. You may as well just take a peek at it.
Yep, so that's fouled back for strike one on a trail.
But, yeah, you see the bench coach immediately – if close play, he runs down the steps and picks up the phone, and it rings directly to the replay guy.
0-1, the count to Trejo. The outfield again straight away is we are now deep in the twilight here at Albuquerque. As that swung on and lifted to left field, Stone Garrett is there with a terrific arm. He makes the catch. Tagging coming home is Tolia. Stone's throw is going to be a little bit late. Impressive that Stone got it there to make it that close, but sliding across feet first, Tolia, and a sack fly for Trejo. And it's now 6-0 Albuquerque. Montes stays at first base. Did not go to second on that throw. And a one down and a run in.
Yeah, Garrett did a nice job of keeping that ball low, too, to where he couldn't advance to second. The runner first, Montes, couldn't advance to second base because it was through the cutoff, man. That was a nice play.
Everybody, and you can preach this gospel going back to Arizona, but everybody's talking about Stone Garrett, the home runs and the RBIs, very impressive offensive numbers. Maybe the best outfield arm in the PCL as well. As that swung on and missed, and maybe the backswing got to Marolio. Dom was in some pain, quickly coming to his feet and shaking that off, and he'll tap Morales.
So you want to be a catcher,
yeah.
Huh?
It's
bad enough when you get a foul tip, but then you got to deal with the backswings too.
Yeah, that's child's play to some of the things we've seen in the last week. This is a nothing and one to Morales. And a throw to first, and diving back goes Montes. But yeah, Stone Garrett, nobody really talks about his arm, and he has literally saved games with his arm. He a game ended in Oklahoma City with him throwing out a runner at the plate, tying run at the plate. So that's how a game ended. It's very impressive, all the tools that Stone Garrett brings to the table. That swung on and chopped on one big bounce to third. Kennedy had to really wait on it, but he fields and unloads quickly to first to get Morales. Up to second base goes Montes, but now two outs into Brett Boswell coming up next. But I'm glad you're getting a chance to see Stone play a little bit. I know this series, you know, he hasn't really lit it up, but are they talking about it at all up there?
Oh, yeah. You know, he's on the broad. I mean, they talk about him on the broadcast all the time because, you know, they have the highlights of the homers that he hits and what he's been hitting. And, yeah, so that does get talked about quite a bit.
Center fielder Carroll is slightly towards left. In from the left side is Boswell, who's one for two. And Jameson delivers, and Boswell takes up and outside, ball one. You know, you and I were also talking with Doug Drabeck a little bit before the game, and about Doug Drabeck. And what a guy to mentor these young pitchers coming up.
Tremendous. I mean, just the experience and the knowledge base that he has. What a great pitcher he was. I think it's kind of flies a little bit under the radar there as that's taken for a ball. How good he was for those Pirates teams.
1990 Cy Young Award winner. We were just running off the pitches that were pitching in 1990 that didn't win the Cy Young. Roger Clemens and Nolan Ryan and Maddox and Smoltz and Glavin. And I mean, that is elite company for Doug Drabeck, and having won the Cy Young. As a throw to second by Jameson is not in time. Diving back to the bag, Montes. That was nicely done with Defoe creeping in behind him, and they almost got him.
Now that would have been the manager would have been holding up his hand in big leagues to wait 10 seconds for his replay guy to look at that.
And I would love to see. Oh, let's see. We're going to get another look.
No, got back
safe.
In there. Wow.
Yeah. There's the 2-0 and a swing and a miss, and it's 2-1. And
amazing how often they get these calls right.
I was going to say, especially at the AAA level, because these umpires don't have replay. They have one shot to get it, you know. So they don't have to. I don't think the big league umpires have to wear it as much with these calls as now these AAA umpires do. As the 2-1 is swung on and grounded to short. It's going to be taken by Defoe, who throws wide to first, but DeHager able to hold the bag, stretching toward the outfield. And that ends the inning. I don't know if Hager actually did hold it, but they're going to say that he held it with his tiptoes, and the inning is over. Hey, man, I'm sorry I took up so much of your time.
No, this was great. Really enjoyed it.
This is a lot of fun, and you can read Steve on dbacks.com, the MLB.com beat writer for the Diamondbacks. A lot of fun, man. Appreciate it.
Had a great time.
Looking forward to reading the Corbin Carroll feature whenever it comes out. We are going to the top of the seventh. It's 6-0 Albuquerque on the Aces Digital Network.
When Brooklyn hurt her arm, I knew there was no way she could sit through a long wait in the ER. Rock Express is the only orthopedic urgent care, which means they're experts in treating injured bones, joints, and muscles fast.
The whole thing took less than an hour.
And it costs a lot less than a visit to the ER.
Rock Express put me back together fast, and they can do it for you, too.
Rock Express, now in Reno, Sparks, and Carson City. Visit renoortho.com.
Don't let ouch ruin your day. Swift Orthopedic Urgent Clinic will get you the care and treatment you need when you need it. Swift accepts walk-ins and same-day appointments. Their orthopedic specialists are experienced in diagnosing and treating car accident or personal injuries, sports injuries, broken bones, strains and sprains, muscle pain, injured joints, and back and neck pain. With locations in Sparks and in Reno, relief isn't far away. Learn more at swifturgentclinic.com.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and take the afternoon off to binge watch anything, or go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting? Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Back inside Isotopes Park, our thanks to Steve Gilbert, the D-backs beat writer for MLB.com, for hanging for a little while. Great to chat with Steve. As a new pitcher for the Isotopes, it's P.J. Poulin. And Poulin, the left-hander, deals to Buddy Kennedy, and his first pitch misses for ball one. So Brandon Gold is done after six very impressive scoreless innings. Six scoreless for Brandon Gold, and he allowed just two hits, and he stifled a powerful, potent Aces offense. The 1-0 pitch is low and inside, and it's two balls and no strikes. Gold did not walk anybody, and he struck out two, and he ends his outing having retired the last 10 batters that he faced. So Poulin, the lefty, deals, and Kennedy takes up and outside. And to count, three balls and no strikes. Albuquerque now a 6-0 lead after the Isotopes pushed across another run in the bottom of the sixth inning. The first run that scored outside of that bottom of the fifth, as that's in for a strike. But the Isotopes scored five in the bottom of the first. And that had been it in this game, really, the bottom of the first inning until that run Albuquerque pushed across last half inning. The 3-1 is low and in, and ball four. So Kennedy draws a walk, and that is the first walk issued by Isotopes pitching tonight. As Stone Garrett comes up next, and Garrett is 0-2. He has fouled out to the catcher and flied out to center. Poulin out of UConn, and a native of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Mattapoisett, Massachusetts, as that pitch is off the outside, ball one to Stone Garrett. 11th round selection of the Rockies in 2018 out of UConn. And Poulin in his sixth AAA game. The 1-0. And Garrett swings and lines a deep drive to right. Bouchard going back, angled to his left, and Bouchard extends up on the warning track and makes the catch for out number one. So Garrett now 0-3. He's driven the ball well a couple of times tonight. So one away, and Wilmer Defoe with Kennedy at first base. Defoe trying to extend his hit streak to nine games. He's 0-2. He's flied to deep left and grounded to second. Poulin fires, and Defoe swings and misses through a 93-mile-an-hour fastball to the outside. Poulin 1-0 with a 1.69 ERA, having a great year, even going back to his time in Double-A Hartford, where he's pitching very close to home and close to his alma mater, UConn. Had a 2.21 ERA with the Hartford Yard Goats. Here's the 0-1, and a swing and a foul back to the right, and now nothing in two. With Hartford, he struck out 55 and walked 12 in 40 and two-thirds innings. And here with Albuquerque, he has nine strikeouts, three walks in five and two-thirds innings. Poulin sets, belt high, and the 0-2. And it's up and away. One ball and two strikes to Defoe, to be followed by Canzone. The Isotopes six, and the Aces nothing. We are still in the twilight here at Albuquerque. The stadium lights are in effect. It might be difficult if a ball is hit a mile high in the air to locate it if you're a defender. 1-2 the count, and the pitch is in the dirt and skips by the catcher Morales, and up to second base goes Kennedy on a wild pitch. Two balls and two strikes, and now Kennedy at second base. And should Defoe extend his hit streak here, likely he would get the Aces on the board. The 2-2. And a swing and a chop up the third baseline. Foul. Two balls, two strikes to the right-handed hitting Defoe. Switch hitter batting from the right side against the southpaw, P.J. Poulin. Poulin sets, and now the 2-2. And a swing and a drive that is high and deep to left. Jimmy Herron turns to watch it go. And Wilmer Defoe extends his hit streak to 9 games with a 2-run homer. And Wilmer Defoe has been clobbering the ball of late. And that was a no-doubter. And for Defoe, his 7th home run. Wilmer has found his power here in the last couple of weeks. And it's the Isotopes 6 and the Aces 2. And that is the first Triple-A home run given up by Poulin. That pitch was middle in, and Defoe turned on it and sent it out to the picnic area and left. So now Canzone in from the left side, and he takes in tight, ball one. Canzone has popped out to third and fly to center. The center fielder Valade slightly towards left. And this is going to be a pitch clock violation. So it's even now, one ball and one strike. Pitch is taken for a strike. I beg your pardon, now it's one and one. They gave him the ball on that initial prior to the initial pitch, so now it's 1-1. The 1-1 is swung on and fouled back, and it's 1-2. One ball, two strikes to Canzone, who also is trying to extend his hit streak to 9 games, which Defoe has just done. 3 to the right of second with the shift. The third baseman, Boswell, playing the shortstop spot. Canzone swings and pulls one up the first baseline, taken by Tolia, who will take it himself, 3 unassisted to the bag for out number 2. So 2 away now, and Jose Herrera. Herrera has flied to right and grounded to second. Here's the pitch, and Jose takes inside, ball one. We didn't get a chance, really, with Steve Gilbert here to talk about Jose Herrera and the year that he had with the D-backs. Herrera this season with the D-backs in 47 games, hitting 189. But again, Steve had mentioned it, really handled the pitching staff superbly, as the 1-0 pitch is a strike at the knees, and it's 1-1. Herrera last season with the Aces hit 244. With 6 homers and 32 runs batted in. But again, Herrera's strength is not his bat so much as it is his defense. That's not to say the bat can't play for Herrera, because it certainly can. The 1-1 pitch is low and a count 2-1, but pitchers rave about working with Jose Herrera. And you heard Steve talk about how Madison Bumgarner raved about Jose. 2-1. Jose has flied to right and grounded to second in his return to the Aces. Albuquerque 6 and Reno 2 in the top of the 7th inning. 2 outs, the base is clear. The pitch is swung on and pulled to the left side deep in the hole. Off the backhand try of Trejo, and it goes into foul territory, and Herrera will hold at first. Aces trailing by 4 runs here in the 7th, and Jose not wanting to try and make it to second. Speed isn't exactly his game. It is an infield single for Herrera. And here comes Warren Schaefer. This might be it for Poulin. There is somebody that has been throwing for the Isotopes, and that person has been summoned, and it is former Reno ace Zach Lee. So Zach Lee will come in for the Isotopes, and he'll face Dominic Maroglio with 2 outs and Herrera at first. So we come back after this call, the bullpen break. It's the Isotopes 6 and the Aces 2 on the Aces Digital Network.
Wake up each morning to the Desert Sun. Desert Sun Bagel Company. Desert Sun Bagel Company uses only fresh, locally sourced ingredients. Our bagels are baked to perfection daily, coffee from Blind Dog Roasters is always freshly brewed, and your selection is grilled to order, never microwaved. Visit us at 495 Morrill Avenue, just off 4th Street, or place your online order at DesertSunBagels.com.
Pizzeria Lupo, Reno's first pizzeria to serve Detroit-style square pan pizzas. You can find them alongside their New York-inspired round pies, smoked jumbo chicken wings, salads, and soft serve ice cream. Choose from one of their masterfully crafted signature pizzas or create your own. Order ahead online at pizzerialupo.com and find them in Reno's Midtown District at 190 West California Avenue.
Slide into home plate and grab a slice of your favorite pizza at Mountain Mike's. For over 40 years, they've been making pizza the way it ought to be. Handmade with the freshest and finest ingredients. Dough made fresh daily and toppings to the edge. Reno fans, experience their legendary crispy curly pepperoni. Now with two locations on McCarran Boulevard and West 5th Street at Keystone. It's time to hit a home run at Mountain Mike's. Order online for delivery or carryout at mountainmikespizza.com or on their app.
Zach Lee, the new pitcher for the Isotopes, the former ace, is making his second appearance of the series. We saw Zach get the win here on Tuesday night in the opener. He went a perfect inning in relief and got a strikeout. And he comes in here to a game in which the Isotopes lead 6-2 in the top of the seventh inning. Two runs in this inning for the Aces on a two-run homer by Wilmer Defoe. The pitch to Dominic Maroglio is up high, ball one. Maroglio batting with Herrera at first base after an infield single. And two outs in the top of the seventh inning. Dom has flied to left on a sliding catch made by Jimmy Herron. He's also grounded to short. And Dom takes in the dirt. Nice stop by Morales. And it's two balls and no strikes. Second baseman Montas shaded toward the middle. Maroglio swings and misses. He sold out for that. It was a 2-1 off-speed, or 2-0 off-speed pitch from Lee that dived out of the zone and down toward the plate, and Maroglio swung over the top of it. 2-1. The pitch, and Dom swings and drives one well to right center field. It'll send Bouchard back, and Bouchard won't get there. Rolls to the warning track, and that's 404 out there. Around third, coming in to score is Jose Herrera, and Dominic Maroglio has also been flexing some muscle the last week and on this road trip, and Maroglio with a double out to right center field. It sent Bouchard way back. And again, it's 404 out there to right center. So a bigger part of the ballpark. Not your average right center field. Maroglio tagged it and gets himself an RBI double. So now it's a three-run game. And the Aces must feel like they're back in this. That run charged to Poulin. As that pitch is going to miss to Jake Hager outside. So Poulin goes two-thirds of an inning and gives up three runs, all earned, as the pitch to Jake is low and outside, and it's 2-0. Two hits allowed by Poulin. Three hits this inning, but two of them were allowed by Poulin. Just giving you his final line. Pitch. And Hager swings and lets a fly ball to right. Angled back to his right is Bouchard. He's camped underneath this one and he'll make the catch. And that ends the inning. So Hager is 1-for-3. But the Aces are back in it as they get three runs in the top of the seventh inning. Three runs on three hits. No errors and one man left stranded. As we stand and stretch here in Albuquerque, going to the bottom of the seventh, it's the Isotopes 6 and the Aces 3 on the Aces Digital Network.
Thank you. the summer wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long we sang a song, and then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind, like painted kites, those days and nights, they went flying by. The world was new beneath a blue umbrella sky. Then softer than a piper man, one day it called to you. I lost you.
Jimmy Herron is in from the right side, and Herron 1-for-2 tonight, facing Dre Jameson, who's back out improbably for a seventh inning, as that pitch is low, ball one. Jameson, who gave up 5 runs in the first inning, was hard to envision him getting into the seventh, but here we are, and Jameson has a chance to go 7 for a third straight outing. The pitch is swung on and lined to left field. Garrett is angled back to his right, and Stone makes the catch for out number one. The Isotopes got 1 run on 2 hits in that bottom of the sixth inning. At the time, they extended their lead to 6-0, but the Aces with 3 runs in the top of the seventh, so now it's 6-3. And Jameson, outside of giving up that run in the sixth inning, has been grooving after that to first. Pitch is in for a strike, and it's 0-1. Pitch is up and in, and it's 1-1. Julian Fernandez is throwing in the Albuquerque bullpen. Tough to see into that Aces bullpen, even with binoculars. I don't think anybody's throwing at the moment. Pitch is swung on and popped foul back to the right and out of play over the screen. 1-2 to Vallade, who was hit by a pitch in the first. Since then has grounded to second and flied to right. Jameson at one point retired 9 in a row. And it was starting with that first out of the second inning. Here's the 1-2, and a swing and a ground ball pulled to short. It's going to be taken in by Defoe, who throws to first to get Vallade for out number 2. So 2-up, 2-down here in the seventh, and Sean Bouchard, who's 1-for-2. Bouchard has walked, grounded to third, and doubled. $4,123, the paid attendance here at Albuquerque tonight, as that pitch is inside, ball one to Bouchard. The 1-0 is inside, and it's 2 balls and no strikes. Is inside, and now 3 balls and no strikes. Jameson has not issued a walk since the first inning. The pitch, and it is taken a bit high, ball 4. Now Carlos Perez coming up, and we'll see if Jameson's going to face him. There's a meeting on the mound, Hager and the catcher Maroglio. tough to see into that Aces bullpen. There is somebody throwing. Looks like a left-hander. It is. So they will let Dre face Carlos Perez. And here's the pitch, and Perez swings and lifts a deep drive foul down the left field side. Caleb Berriger is throwing in the Aces pen, so that is the left-hander tossing. Shift is on 3 to the left of second. Hager holding Bouchard at first, and the pitch is swung on and it chopped foul up the third base line. No balls, two strikes to Perez. Jameson trying to get through the seventh inning for a third straight outing. And also trying to come up with a shutdown inning after his offense scored 3 in the top half. Throw to first, and back standing goes Bouchard. Bouchard went lunging back to the bag. Bouchard with 11 steals and 12 attempts, so he can steal one for you. Here's the 0-2, and a swing and a miss. The ball squirts by Maroglio, and first base was technically occupied, but with 2 outs, Perez could have gone up the first base line, and Perez just kind of stopped about a third of the way up the line. With 2 outs, that's when you can go up the first base line, even though first base technically was occupied, but a strikeout. And the inning is over as Maroglio did throw up to first to assure the out. And for Dre Jameson, that is his 4th strikeout tonight. No runs, no hits, no errors, and one man stranded. And out of the top of the 8th is the Isotope 6 and the Aces 3 on the Aces Digital Network.
At Super Chicks, we're super into chicken. We think it's just about the most perfect food in the world. And we wanted our recipes to celebrate all that perfection. So we did something drastic. We decided to keep it simple. We decided to bring you the last true chicken sandwich. Visit us in Sparks at North McCarran and Prater Way for fresh, never frozen chicken and frozen custard made daily. Open at 11 a.m. and on Sundays. Dang good chicken.
When Brooklyn hurt her arm, I knew there was no way she could sit through a long wait in the ER. Rock Express is the only orthopedic urgent care, which means they're experts in treating injured bones, joints, and muscles fast.
The whole thing took less than an hour.
And it costs a lot less than a visit to the ER.
Rock Express put me back together fast, and they can do it for you, too.
Rock Express, now in Reno, Sparks, and Carson City. Visit renoortho.com.
Don't let ouch ruin your day. Swift Orthopedic Urgent Clinic will get you the care and treatment you need when you need it. Swift accepts walk-ins and same-day appointments. Their orthopedic specialists are experienced in diagnosing and treating car accident or personal injuries, sports injuries, broken bones, strains and sprains, muscle pain, injured joints, and back and neck pain. With locations in Sparks and in Reno, relief isn't far away. Learn more at swifturgentclinic.com.
Julian Fernandez is the new pitcher for Albuquerque. His first pitch swung on and driven a long way by Giancarlo Cintron to the corner, and that's gone. And a home run for Giancarlo Cintron on the first pitch thrown by Julian Fernandez. And Cintron, who had not had a home run in AAA coming into this road trip, has two on this trip. And he draws the aces a run closer. It is 6-4. So talk about a rude welcome for Fernandez. Giancarlo Cintron cranked one up the left field line and kept it just fair. And it's now 6-4. And the pitch is swung on and fouled back by Corbin Carroll. And it's nothing and one. So Giancarlo with a two-hit night. And now Corbin Carroll, who's not had a hit. The pitch is off the outside. And it's 1-1. 348 feet, 93 mile an hour exit velocity on that home run by Cintron as that pitch is up and away. And to count two balls and a strike. Cintron hit one in Vegas on Saturday. That was his first ever AAA home run. And now he has two as that swung on and missed. And it's two balls and two strikes. The Aces trailing 6-4 now here in the top of the eighth inning. Corbin Carroll trying to extend his hit streak to 10 games. The 2-2. And a swing and a foul back. Look out to our left. We saw Fernandez in game one of this series. He gave up one run on one hit in his lone inning. Pitch is swung on, and that's driven high and deep to right. Going back is Bouchard. Bouchard is squared up, and on the warning track, he makes the catch for out number one. Corbin Carroll gave it a lift. And Bouchard had just arrived to the warning track to haul it in for out number one. So Carroll with some hard contact, his hardest bit of contact today. But he flies out to right, one away, and Buddy Kennedy coming up. And Kennedy is in from the right side. Buddy has grounded to short, flied to right, and walked. And the pitch is taken for a strike, and it's nothing and one. The 0-1, and a swing and a foul back by Buddy, and it's nothing and two. No balls, two strikes. Six runs, eight hits for the Isotopes. Four runs, six hits for the Aces, and now Reno a bloop and a blast away from tying this game. More than doable for this club. Here's the 0-2, and a swing and a foul back. There are so many candidates, not just to hit a home run on this team, but to get on base ahead of a guy that can hit a home run. You go up and down this lineup, and there's really no liability. No balls and two strikes, the pitch. And Kennedy takes strike three called, and he knew it. 85 on that slider from Julian Fernandez. And Kennedy was fooled. He was expecting something else. And Fernandez picks up his first strikeout, and Stone Garrett is coming up next. Fernandez, native of Boca Chica, Dominican Republic. He was signed by Colorado as an international free agent in 2012 and saw a bit of big league time last year, his first six games in the big league last year with Colorado. Has a 5.63 ERA this season. The pitch is outside, ball one. With Albuquerque this season, Fernandez making his 42nd relief appearance. He's 2-3, a 5.63 ERA. In 39 innings, he has given up now 25 earned runs on 36 hits, 44 strikeouts, 22 walks. That pitch in for a strike. And it's 1-1. Pitch is swung on and missed by Garrett, a slider away, and it's now 1-2. Like a time was called, or actually Fernandez stepped off because the pitch clock was about to expire. One ball and two strikes, and a pitch to Garrett is swung on and missed, and Fernandez got him with a front door slider. So Giancarlo Cintron ambushed the first pitch of the inning for a home run to left, but then Fernandez gets three quick outs, including back-to-back Ks of Kennedy and Garrett. The Aces, though, get a run closer. One run, one hit, no errors, and none left. To the bottom of the eighth inning, it's now Albuquerque 6 and Reno 4 on the Aces Digital Network.
Life, it's not always sunshine and rainbows. It can be tough, but spoiler alert, There's no perfect time to live greater. People in Nevada, it's time to do more than you've done before. Maybe buy a home in Carson City, start a business in Reno, or retire to a cabin in the Ruby Mountains. With help from Greater Nevada Credit Union, you can do anything. It's a matter of fact. Live greater. It's go time.
Start at livegreater.com. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Firehouse Subs, we make our subs differently because our subs can make a difference. Like our spicy Cajun chicken sub with sliced, grilled Cajun seasoned chicken breast, melted pepper jack cheese, house-made Cajun mayo and jalapenos, all on a toasted sub roll. Order online or on the app to have your subs ready for pickup or delivery. Only at Firehouse Subs. Participating U.S. locations.
You know Red Robin as the home of 25 gourmet burgers and free refills of bottomless fries. And now for premium Donato's Pizza. Every Donato's Pizza is made fresh to order and loaded edge to edge with toppings, like the large signature pepperoni topped with 100 mouth-watering pepperonis. Go ahead, count them. Whatever you and your crew are craving, Red Robin has you covered with gourmet burgers, bottomless fries, and Donato's Pizza. Dine in, to go, or delivery. Now, sing it with me.
Red Robin. Yum.
For 30 years, Camelot Party Rentals has offered the largest selection of tents, linens, tables, chairs, and wedding rentals, and is the largest party rentals provider in Reno, Lake Tahoe, and Northern Nevada. Camelot Party Rentals has event specialists that will help you create any event, big or small. Visit their showroom where you can see firsthand all they have to offer for your special event. Go to CamelotPartyRentals.com. That's CamelotPartyRentals.com. Open Monday through Friday from 8 to 5.
Caleb Berger, the new pitcher for the Aces. As we are now in the bottom of the eighth inning, Berger taking over for Dre Jameson, who went seven innings. Dre gave up six runs, all earned on eight hits. He walked two, hit a batter, and he struck out four as Berger's first pitch, missing in tight to Michael Tolia. I know that line does not sound very sexy for Jameson, but he gave up five of those six runs in the first inning, and he was really good after that as that swung on and missed. And the count 1-1. Jameson at one point retired nine in a row, going from the first out of the second through the end of the fourth. There's the 1-1 from the lefty Berger, and it's low and inside, and it's 2-1. Berger, the Jenison, Michigan native, just outside of Grand Rapids. Here's the 2-1, and it's low and inside, 3-1, going from Indiana native Dre Jameson to Indiana University alum Caleb Berger. 3-1, and a pitch, and a swing and a chop foul, third base side. Berger making his 31st appearance with the Aces, 2-1 with a 5.10 ERA this season. There's a 3-2, and it is in tight, ball four. So Tolia walks, and that is the third walk issued by Aces pitching. And Montes coming up next. For Berger, in 30 innings, he has given up 17 earned runs on 30 hits, 35 strikeouts, and now 16 walks. And he's charged with keeping this game a two-run ball game going to the ninth when the Aces left. Defoe, Canzone, and Herrera coming up. Here's the pitch, and it is up and outside, ball one to Montes. Pitch is low and inside. And it's two balls and no strikes, so Berger a bit off right now. And a swing and a foul back, and it's 2-1. Two 2-1, and a swing and a high fly ball to deep left center field. Going back is Carroll, but that one is way gone. That may have gone off the scoreboard. That was a shot by Coco Montes, and that might be a dagger there for the Aces. It's now 8-4, Albuquerque. And Montes, a triple away from the cycle. Not sure he's going to get another shot at it, but an impressive night nonetheless for Montes, who's driven in now 4 runs. Is Alan Trejo, and Trejo is 1-for-2, and he has also driven in 4 runs. So Montes and Trejo have accounted for all the RBIs tonight for Albuquerque as that pitch is in for a strike, and it's nothing in 1. For Berger, that is the 9th home run that he's allowed this season. The 0-1 is in the dirt, and it's 1-1. The 1-1, and a swing and a liner into center field, a base hit. So Trejo with a single, and it's a 2-hit night for Alan Trejo. Jonathan Morales 0-for-3. He has flied to center, struck out swinging, and grounded to third. The kick and the pitch, and it is inside, ball 1 to Morales. 8 runs now, 10 hits for the Isotopes. Four runs, 6 hits for the Aces. Berger swings his leg and delivers, and that's driven foul over the upper deck down the left side. And it's even at 1-1 to Morales. The 1-1, and a swing and a foul back. Good off-speed pitch there from Berger. Now 1-2 as he had Morales out in front. Here's the 1-2, and it is low and inside. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Two is low and inside, and now full count. Nice stop there by Maroglio. That keeps Trejo at first base. Three-two on the way, and a swing and a chop foul up the third base side. Three-two, and a swing and another foul ball into the third base home dugout. Activity in the Aces bullpen, I want to say it's Brandon Workman. It is. 3-2, and a swing and a chop to third. It's going to be a double play ball. Kennedy to second for 1, and Cintron to first for 2, and they send it around the horn for a 5-4-3 double play. And with that, 2 outs, the base is empty. Now Brett Boswell, who's 1-for-3. Boswell singled his first time up, and since then has struck out swinging and grounded 2 short. For injured bones, joints, and muscles, skip the ER. Head for Rock Express as the region's only physician-staffed walk-in orthopedic clinic. Rock Express provides expert care that's faster and more affordable than the ER. Visit renoortho.com as that pitch is upstairs. Ball one to Boswell. Two outs now. The base is empty. Pitch and a swing and a drive toward the right field corner, but that's going to hit off the netting. Foul, and it's 1-1. The 1-1, and that one is in for a strike, and now 1-2. One ball, two strikes, bases empty, two outs, two runs in this inning for the Isotopes, who have grown their lead to 8-4, the pitch. And a swing and a fly ball to center field. Angle back to his right is Corbin Carroll, now gliding more toward left center. Carroll makes the catch, and that ends the inning. But the Isotopes get some big-time insurance. Looked like the Aces were coming on back in this game. But Albuquerque gets two runs on two hits, including a two-run homer by Coco Montes. No errors and none left. And now to the top of the ninth inning. And the mountain has gotten steeper for the Aces. Wilmer Defoe, Dominic Canzone, and Jose Herrera due up. When we come back for the top of the ninth, again, the Isotopes 8 and the Aces 4 on the Aces Digital Network.
Wake up each morning to the desert sun. Desert Sun Bagel Company. Desert Sun Bagel Company uses only fresh, locally sourced ingredients. Our bagels are baked to perfection daily, coffee from Blind Dog Roasters is always freshly brewed, and your selection is grilled to order, never microwaved. Visit us at 495 Morrill Avenue, just off 4th Street, or place your online order at DesertSunBagels.com.
Pizzeria Lupo, Reno's first pizzeria to serve Detroit-style square pan pizzas. You can find them alongside their New York-inspired round pies, smoked jumbo chicken wings, salads, and soft-serve ice cream. Choose from one of their masterfully crafted signature pizzas or create your own. Order ahead online at pizzerialupo.com and find them in Reno's Midtown District at 190 West California Avenue.
Slide into home plate and grab a slice of your favorite pizza at Mountain Mike's. For over 40 years, they've been making pizza the way it ought to be. Handmade with the freshest and finest ingredients. Dough made fresh daily and toppings to the edge. Reno fans, experience their legendary crispy curly pepperoni. Now with two locations on McCarran Boulevard and West 5th Street at Keystone. It's time to hit a home run at Mountain Mike's. Order online for delivery or carryout at mountainmikespizza.com or on their app.
At Super Chicks, we're super into chicken. We think it's just about the most perfect food in the world, and we wanted our recipes to celebrate all that perfection. So we did something drastic. We decided to keep it simple. We decided to bring you the last true chicken sandwich. Visit us in Sparks at North McCarran and Prater Way for fresh, never frozen chicken and frozen custard made daily. Open at 11 a.m. and on Sundays. Dang good chicken.
Last call for the Aces, who trail by four as we go to the top of the ninth inning. And for Reno, it'll be Wilmer Defoe, Dominic Canzone, and Jose Herrera to face Justin Lawrence. Now in a non-save situation for Lawrence, who got the save here on Tuesday. And the pitch is swung on and lined foul off to the left by Defoe, who extended his hit streak to 9 games with a 2-run homer out to left his last time up. That's his only hit tonight. He's 1-for-3. He'll be followed by Dominic Canzone and then Jose Herrera. Aces need a couple of base runners here in the ninth inning. Pitch, and it is a strike on the inside corner to the chagrin and disbelief of Defoe. Nothing in two. Julian Fernandez went one inning, gave up one run on one hit. The first pitch he threw was hit out by Giancarlo Cintron. After that, he retired three in a row, including two strikeouts. The 0-2 is a backdoor slider, strike three called, and Defoe is down looking for out number one. So a good open for Lawrence, who on Tuesday worked around a one-out walk in a one-run game to pick up his first save of the year. Lawrence 1-0 with a 3.18 ERA. This is his 28th relief appearance with Albuquerque. 28 and two-thirds innings worked as that backdoor slider in for a strike. He's given up 10 earned runs on 17 hits, 13 walks, and now 48 strikeouts. Again, in 28 and two-thirds innings. Impressive. Here's the 0-1, and a swing and a foul back, and it's nothing and two. To Canzone, and this is likely Canzone's last chance to extend his hit streak to 9 games. Lawrence the pitch, and Canzone swings and loops it foul off to the left. Caleb Berriger in that bottom of the 8th inning, giving up 2 earned runs on 2 hits. The 2-run homer, of course, to Montes. That was preceded by a leadoff walk drawn by Tolia. The 0-2. And a swing and a miss off speed away. And Canzone went reaching for it. So back-to-back K's for Lawrence. And now the ace is down to their final out. Jose Herrera, who's 1-for-3 with an infield single and a run scored. Aces looked like they were coming back. They scored 3 in the 7th and 1 in the 8th to make it a 2-run game. But you just kind of feel that 2-run homer by Montes take the wind out of the Aces' sails in that bottom of the 8th inning. Here's the pitch, and it is up and outside, ball 1. Herrera trying to extend the game and get Dominic Maroglio up next. The 1-0 is swung on and pulled right to the second baseman, Montes. He has it, throws to first, and that does it for the Aces tonight as they go down quickly in order in the 9th inning. Nothing across for Reno, and Justin Lawrence, a perfect 9th with 2 strikeouts, again in a non-save situation. Our final totals tonight, the Albuquerque Isotopes, 8 runs, 10 hits, and no errors. The Reno Aces, 4 runs, 6 hits, and no errors. The winning pitcher, Brandon Gold, he is now 5-5. The losing pitcher, Trey Jameson, he is now 4-8, and there was no save. Our paid attendance, 4,123 at Isotopes Park, and we'll have the official time of the game coming up on the post-game portion of our broadcast, which is coming up next here from Albuquerque. Again, our final score, the Isotopes 8 and the Aces 4, and the post-game show is next on the Aces Digital Network.
When Brooklyn hurt her arm, I knew there was no way she could sit through a long wait in the ER. Rock Express is the only orthopedic urgent care, which means they're experts in treating injured bones, joints, and muscles fast.
The whole thing took less than an hour.
And it costs a lot less than a visit to the ER.
Rock Express put me back together fast, and they can do it for you, too.
Rock Express, now in Reno, Sparks, and Carson City. Visit renoortho.com.
Don't let ouch ruin your day. Swift Orthopedic Urgent Clinic will get you the care and treatment you need when you need it. Swift accepts walk-ins and same-day appointments. Their orthopedic specialists are experienced in diagnosing and treating car accident or personal injuries, sports injuries, broken bones, strains and sprains, muscle pain, injured joints, and back and neck pain. With locations in Sparks and in Reno, relief isn't far away. Learn more at swifturgentclinic.com.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Welcome back inside Rio Grande Credit Union Field at Isotopes Park here in Albuquerque. Zach Beirute, glad to have been with you for this one as it has gone final. The Albuquerque Isotopes have the upper hand in the series. They defeat the Aces tonight 8-4. 5 runs in the first inning for Albuquerque, and though it looked like the Aces were mounting a comeback, in the late innings, the Isotopes getting 2 runs in the bottom of the 8th, to salt away the win. It was a two-run homer by Coco Montes, who drove in four of the eight Albuquerque runs, as did Alan Trejo. Those two accounted for all the ribbies tonight for the Topes. And let's get you started with our final game totals. The Isotopes, 8 runs, 10 hits, no errors. They left 3 stranded. The Aces, 4 runs, 6 hits, no errors. They as well left 3 stranded. The winning pitcher, Brandon Gold, now 5-5. The losing pitcher, Dre Jameson, who's now 4-8. And there was no save in a game that was a snappy 2 hours and 10 minutes, and the paid attendance was 4,123. 4-1-2-3 tonight here in Albuquerque. Well, taking it back through it, it was that 5-run bottom of the first inning that ended up being the Aces' undoing tonight. Ryan Vallade was hit by a pitch and stole second, and then Sean Bouchard drew a walk after Carlos Perez grounded into a fielder's choice on which the out was made at third. Michael Tolley, a single, that loaded the bases for Coco Montes, who had a 2-run double up the right field corner, and that gave Albuquerque a 2-0 lead, and it quickly grew to 5-0 on an ensuing 3-run homer by Alan Trejo, the first of 4 runs batted in for him tonight, and stunningly, the Isotopes took a 5-0 lead in the blink of an eye in the bottom of the first inning. Dre Jameson gave up a 2-out single to Brett Boswell in that first inning, and then Boswell was caught stealing. And after that, Jameson went on to retire 9 in a row, beginning with the first out of the second inning. So Dre really settled in, and he was making quick work of the Isotopes, quick to the point where he worked through 7 for a third straight outing. But before he got into the 7th, Dre gave up another run in the 6th, the leadoff double hit by Tolia. And then Coco Montes with an infield single put runners at the corners for Alan Trejo, who had a sac fly to left to drive in his 4th run of the night to make it a 6-0 Albuquerque lead. Again, Jameson would work through the 7th inning for a 3rd straight outing. Jameson completes 7, but on this night he suffered the loss. Dre went 7 innings. He gave up 6 earned runs on 8 hits. He walked 2, hit a batter, and he struck out 4. Meanwhile, the Aces offense just couldn't get anything done before the 7th inning. Brandon Gold was sensational tonight. Gold gave up 2 hits, and they were both singles, and they came back-to-back by Hager and Cintron in the 3rd inning. And then Corbin Carroll grounded out to first, and that started a stretch of 10 in a row retired by Gold, who went 6 scoreless and, again, retired the last 10 to finish his outing. He allowed 2 hits, no walks, and 2 strikeouts, and stifled, again, a potent Aces offense. So it was 6-0 Albuquerque going into the 7th, and that's when the Aces offense finally got going against the bullpen. It was P.J. Poulin on the pitch. The left-hander out of UConn would issue a leadoff walk to Buddy Kennedy in the 7th. Kennedy took 2nd on a wild pitch. And 2 batters later, Wilmer Defoe, who's been flexing some muscle of late, hit a home run out to left, a 2-run homer. And for Defoe, that extended his hit streak to 9 games. And also for Defoe, that was his 7th home run, and he has really come alive with the power in the last couple of weeks. That made it a 6-2 ball game. 2 batters later, Herrera reached on an infield single, and in came Zach Lee after that, and Lee would give up an RBI double to Dominic Maroli, a ball that was hit to the right center field gap, which at this ballpark sits 404 feet away, so it was plenty deep enough for Herrera to score from first with 2 outs. And that made it 6-3, so the Aces feeling it a little bit. Poulin, went 2/3 of an inning, was charged with all 3 runs on 2 hits. He walked 1, did not record a strikeout. The Aces would inch closer in the 8th inning. Julian Fernandez coming on to pitch for the Topes, and he gave up a home run on the first pitch he threw to Giancarlo Cintron, who's hit his first 2 AAA home runs on this trip. Cintron, who hit his first AAA homer on Saturday in Vegas, hits his 2nd here tonight in Albuquerque, and that made it 6-4. Fernandez would get the next 3 batters in succession after that, and that brought in Caleb Berriger to pitch the bottom of the 8th inning with a 6-4 ball game. Berriger would walk Michael Tolia to start the inning, and then Coco Montes would tee off a 2-run homer. Montes, who was a triple away from the cycle tonight, hitting that 2-run homer, and you could just feel the air go out of the Aces at that point. That made it 8-4, and those were the only 2 runs given up by Berriger, but it really changed the complexion of this game because momentum was on Reno's side until that big swing by Montes. And then Justin Lawrence came on in the 9th inning and to set the side down in order and got back-to-back strikeouts of Defoe and Canzone to start that outing and got Herrera to ground a 2nd to end the ball game. Again, our final score, our final totals, the Isotopes, 8 runs, 10 hits, no errors. They left 3 stranded. The Aces, 4 runs, 6 hits, no errors. They left 3 stranded. The winning pitcher, Brandon Gold, now 5-5. The losing pitcher, Dre Jameson, now 4-8. There was no save in a game that took 2 hours and 10 minutes to play before a paid crowd of 4,123 here at Isotopes Park. A look at the out-of-town scoreboard. Games that are still in progress are in the bottom of the eighth inning in Oklahoma City. And Round Rock is all over Oklahoma City, 12-1. The Express drubbing the home team in OKC tonight. They're in the seventh inning stretch in Salt Lake City. The Rivercats 5 and the Bees 3. Again, at the stretch. Sugarland all over El Paso, 7-1. That game in the top of the ninth in El Paso. And they are midway through three in Tacoma. The Rainiers have a 4-0 lead on the Aviators, and that game headed to the bottom of the third. That's the out-of-town scoreboard on this night, Thursday, August 11th, 2022. As far as what's to come tomorrow, the fourth game of this series, and the Aces will try and even the series again, it will be Corbin Martin on the mound for Reno. Corbin 6-3 with a 6.34 ERA. He'll be opposed by right-hander Zach Neal, 5-5 with a 7.38 ERA. For Albuquerque, 5:35 Pacific time first pitch. Our pregame coverage on the radio begins at 5:25, and we'll look forward to having you with us for that. And that about does it for us tonight from Isotopes Park. Before I go, thanks so much to you, the fans, for tuning in. I do sincerely hope you enjoy each and every one of our broadcasts. I'd also like to thank the entire hardworking Aces front office staff for all of their hard work. Special thanks to Adam Nichols and Drew McDonald on the PR side, and to AJ Grimm and Chase Groden, who run the social media. And for everyone else involved in bringing you Aces baseball, I'm Zach Beirute saying so long from Isotopes Park. Or once again, our final score tonight, the Isotopes 8 and the Aces 4. We'll see you tomorrow night, 5:35 Pacific time, first pitch. Our pregame on the radio at 5:25. We will look forward to catching you then. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Thursday night, and so long from Albuquerque.